Hi, good morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. It's Friday, so that means Fly Jams Friday. Straight out of context, Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy, all coming up right here on our regular Friday features. And also, coming up after the 1:30 news, we will be talking with David Allen Arnold. He's an Emmy Award-winning airborne cameraman. He's the guy who does all those big, crazy shots from helicopters of live events. He's worked on movies. He works on things like Deadliest Catch. He worked on a James Bond movie. He will be doing the aerial work, the camera work, for Monday night's Bears game. So he's also chronicled his experiences in his new book, and it's called Help from Above, How I Went from Sweeping the Floor to Painting the Sky, Volume 1. And he's going to tell us about all of his adventures and his book and all kinds of other really cool stuff. So David Allen Arnold will join us after the 1:30 news break, plus all of our regular features. And the nominations for the possible inductees to the Toy Hall of Fame, we cover this every year, have been announced. So we're going to talk about the Toy Hall of Fame and then go through the nominees and which ones do you guys think should be inducted. And they will induct a toy to the Hall of Fame. They'll announce it. They'll announce the inductees on November 8th. But they did bring out the nominations yesterday, so we'll talk about that this morning as well. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. You can get your Fly Jams request in a little bit later on. You can also check out, follow us on Twitter, at Nick D Show. But the best way to stay connected is on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Nick D Show. Facebook.com/Nick D Show. And also check out our podcasts. It's free. You can subscribe to them. Go to iTunes. Go to anywhere place you get your pods. And also WGNradio.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Every second of every show is podcast, and they will be sent automatically to your device, and you can listen at your leisure, bro. So that's what's happening on the show this morning. Let me say hello to my great producer, Dan Shagru. Hello, Dan.
Howdy, Nick.
How are you, sir?
Good, man. How about yourself?
All right. All right. What do you got going for the weekend, Anna?
We have an extended member of Eileen's family coming over for tea on Sunday.
Tea?
Yes.
Oh.
So I don't know if I will be part of the tea, but the girls will be part of the tea, which means I should be on standby in case the girls aren't enjoying tea enough and need to go play somewhere else, and allowing Joni and Eileen to chat.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And now, is it high tea?
It might be high tea. It's noon, right? High tea is noon?
I don't know. All I know is that my first ex-wife did a high tea thing with her bridesmaids.
Okay.
Like before we got married.
Gotcha.
And I don't remember. I just know it was called high tea.
Yeah.
And they went someplace. I don't know if there's a specific. Yeah, I think it's late afternoon.
Yeah. And one of the rooms does it, like the chestnut room or the walnut room, something like that.
That's exactly where they went.
Yeah. All my aunts and female cousins and by extension, my wife, Eileen, and sister-in-law, Megan, go to a high tea around Christmas time every year.
Well, they did this. I mean, I guess they just did it as part of, like, the bachelorette thing?
Sure, yeah. Because it's all fancy in China.
Right.
Thousands of varieties of tea.
Yeah, exactly. And it was like a real fancy schmancy thing.
Yeah.
Her and her bridesmaids did it, right before we got married. And she loved it and thought it was really cool. But I don't remember the specifics, like if it's a specific time. Yeah. I thought it was late afternoon.
That sounds right to me.
Yeah.
Like, if I remember correctly, that day when they went, because I remember watching the football alone that day.
So for tea,
mm-hmm.
Now is this an Irish thing?
It is an Irish thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know the specifics of it, but it's definitely an Irish thing.
There's no question about it.
Yeah.
No question about it. Have you ever seen the video of Saoirse Ronan making a perfect pot of tea?
I have not, but that sounds delightful.
It is absolutely delightful. It's only about 3 minutes long, and it's just Saoirse Ronan making tea, making a perfect, because she's obsessed with tea. She drinks tea all the time. But it's so charming, and so, because it's her. But yeah, there's a video. I've watched it like 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
So anyway, well, I hope you have a good time.
Thank you.
You got football this weekend, and you're watching, keeping track of your fantasy league.
Way to go, Bengals.
Yeah.
So Bengals won tonight over the Ravens.
That was good for me. Good for you. All right. Very cool. Are there Thursday night games every Thursday now?
There is, yeah.
Oh, okay.
That got instituted a year or two ago. It used to be like midway through the season, post-Thanksgiving. Now it's every week.
Every week. Yeah. Okay. Who's playing on Thanksgiving this year?
Bears and Lions are.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, much like your story from yesterday.
Are they playing in Detroit?
Yeah, they always play in Detroit.
Oh, they always play in Detroit. Yeah, of course they do.
Then Cowboys always play as well, and I don't know what the third game is this year.
Was the last time...
It might be.
When I went? Was that the last time? That was 93.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a long time.
There might have been one closer.
There had to have been,
There might have been one a couple years ago. But yeah, definitely this,
okay.
this year.
All right, very cool.
Yeah.
That'll be a fun Thanksgiving for the Bears fans. All right, very cool. Let's go to the newsroom and say hello to Vic Vaughn. Hi, Vic.
Good morning, sir.
How are you?
I'm doing very well.
Good, man. We were talking a little bit off the air. You had your improv class last night. How'd that go for you?
Difficult, again.
Yeah.
It's stretching my capabilities, but again, a great night. In fact, I forgot to tell you when we were speaking in the newsroom a little while ago, I'm going to go back there to school later today and try to catch some actual improv shows.
Oh, you're going to go back?
Which I've yet to do.
Yeah. You're going to go back? Are you going to watch?
Try to watch some live shows. I don't even know what the schedule is, but I'm sure they have some shows. It's
at
Friday.
At Second City?
Now,
You can either...
I'll have to get the early ones because I hear the late ones are just going to be sold out. But.
Yeah, it's always packed.
Yeah.
But, you know, by the way, that if you go to the main stage, and I'm sure that this is still the case, they'll do their review, whatever the show is that they're doing, and then they take a break and they come back and they do free range improvising, and that's free.
Yes, you're right. I do recall them telling me yes.
Because when the actual review ends, when they do the show and it lets out, there's like a 10-minute or 15-minute break, and then you can walk in off the street and watch the improv set for nothing.
That's right. Yep.
And that's a kind of a cool thing too.
Yeah, so that'd be fun. Go over there and do that.
Right,
other than that, Jeannie's got. We're going up to Wisconsin. There's a family birthday, and then Sunday back home.
All right.
And speaking of Thanksgiving, I just found out I'm off, so I'll be watching that Bears game from home.
Yeah, I think everybody's going to be watching that game. Is it a night game or a day game, Dan? Do you know?
I'm trying to think. I don't know.
Okay. Well, whatever it is. I mean, if it's a day game, you know, you can watch it while you're eating. Because doesn't everybody eat pretty early on Thanksgiving? Isn't that
It's always the 1 o'clock game or the noon game.
Okay. There you go. All right.
Yeah, because it's always Lions first, Cowboys second, and then the third.
11:30 kickoff.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Cool. All right. Well, that's something to look forward to for Thanksgiving. All right. Cool. All right. We're here and we are live and. I don't know if you, did you see any, no, you were at improv, Vic. Did you hear what Joe Madden did?
No.
He decided it would be a good idea to, not pinch hit for Strope in the bottom of the 10th with a 1-run lead and the bases loaded. So Strope batted, hit into a double play and pulled his hamstring on the way to first. So people are not happy with Joe Madden.
Oh boy.
Right now. Because we need Strope. I don't know. I don't know if you know that or not. Kind of need him. And
how long does he think he's going to be?
I don't know. It happened last night, late in the game.
Man.
No, I'm not kidding. He decided that it would be a good idea for Strope to bat instead of pinch hitting for him. So I don't. And so now Strope is hurt. I'm one of those guys who, because I know, you know, Dan, and you know this. There are a lot of people who really question what Joe Madden does sometimes, like his decisions. Some people really complain about it. There are a lot of people who are anti-Joe Madden.
Right.
I am not one of those people. I staunchly defend him 95% of the time. I can't defend that move. I don't understand it.
I'm going to have to go to the Tribune and see what he had to say about it. I'm sure he spoke about it.
Oh, there had to be. I mean, he had.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I mean, that had to be like the number one question of the press conference.
Absolutely.
Was why didn't you pinch it for Strope?
I mean, it is an interesting dichotomy because obviously there's a lot of speculation about his job security recently. And, you know, glass half full, glass half empty, you point to stuff like that.
Yeah.
Glass half full is you lost your ace and your fifth guy in the rotation couldn't throw a strike to save his life.
Yep.
And, you know, guys have been hurt. Guys have been in slumps. You know, the reigning MVP, you know, MVP Chris Bryant hasn't been in. You've got eight outfielders for three spots and things like that.
Yeah.
And you're still, you know, ahead of it. You know, I mean, that's the tough thing, you know.
No, it is.
It's always the infuriating thing, though, and much like the World Series. It's like, did you really have to take Kyle Hendricks out that early?
Right.
Hey, we won, but did you have to take Kyle Hendricks out that early?
You always question the deal. But the deal is this. They've been in the playoffs four years in a row. And, you know, bringing Madden in, if you look at the record that the Cubs have had each year under Madden's management, it's good. It's strong. And even with a move like this, I wouldn't get rid of Madden.
Yeah.
No way. Okay, we got to take a break here. When we come back, I'm going to tell you about this crazy virtual reality arcade that's in Ravenswood, in case you didn't know about it. We'll tell you a little bit about that. That's all coming up right here on WGN. Yeah. How's it going, everybody? Welcome back. We are here live in the Allstate Skyline studio here on a Friday morning. All of our regular Friday features, You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and Fly Jams Friday will all happen. We are going to talk with an Emmy Award-winning airborne cameraman named David Allen Arnold after the 1:30 news. But there's going to be a new virtual reality arcade in Ravenswood. We want to tell you about that. Redline VR is being built in Ravenswood. It could be open by Halloween. A new virtual reality arcade is coming to Ravenswood. It aims to transport you and your friends to different worlds. Redline VR will let Chicagoans plug into state-of-the-art virtual reality arcade later this fall, with the owners aiming for a pre-Halloween opening. Located at 4700 North Ravenswood, the 2,200-square-foot virtual reality spot with cocktail bar lets groups of friends walk the streets of Paris, command the Starship Enterprise, paint a 3D masterpiece on the moon, and partner up to solve augmented reality escape rooms. Many people don't know about most of the virtual reality games out there and how fantastic it is to be immersed in these worlds, says Aaron Sawyer, one of Redline's co-founders. Perhaps my favorite one to talk about is Superhot, a first-person shooter released by an independent studio in 2016. The game won critical acclaim for its time-only-moves-when-you-move concept. While home console versions of the game exist, the version optimized for virtual reality at Redline will use sensors to track the player's body, head, and hand movements. There's nothing like being immersed in that world where those red crystalline men and whatever is coming at you, Sawyer said. While Superhot is a single-player experience, Redline will also offer a Star Trek virtual reality experience to allow friends to join the bridge crew of the Enterprise. You sit down in the chair, and when you put the headset on, you are on the deck of the Enterprise, and you're the chief engineer officer, or you're the captain, or you're the navigating officer. You have to work together with your friends to solve missions. That sounds awesome, doesn't it?
Yeah, badass.
Man, I wonder how much it costs.
Oh, they get to it later. It's pretty reasonable.
Is it really? Because you would think, man, it would cost a ton of money. It's something that's going to be a lot of fun in a group going out together, where you can do multiplayer interaction and have it all right set up, and we've taken care of all of your concerns, Sawyer says. You can just come in and we'll identify it like first-person shooters, or maybe we can show you some neat things about Google Earth, or just be awe-inspired while you travel around and then paint. Sawyer, who has a background in theater, said he and his business partner, Jonathan Irons, who has a background in digital animation, aim to take virtual reality out of the era of clunky headset and vertigo-inducing low-resolution graphics from the 90s and closer to the kind of experience found in Steven Spielberg's film Ready Player One. Oh, all right. When Redline opens later this year, it will have virtual reality rigs set up for players in 8x8 feet spaces, each one separated by planters with tufts of grass. We're building these bays where virtual reality gaming happens in the semicircle around the central bar. The reason for this is rather than having a heavy drywall dividing each bay where you bang your hand against and break the controller or hurt your hand, we'll have grass so you feel that you're at the edge of the space. Sawyer also hopes to incorporate an omnidirectional treadmill and additional haptic gear, vests, and gloves, which simulate impact and vibration for the player at Redline at some point when they open. With these treadmills, you can literally just walk and turn in any direction. You're walking in the real world, or you're walking in a virtual world as well. It's a heck of a workout. Because Redline is located in Ravenswood's Malt Row, Sawyer hopes to one day incorporate virtual reality into events like beer tastings at the arcade. It's my dream in the future to not only go do a tasting tour through Malt Row, but also be able to put a virtual headset on for each one. So you can have kind of an ultimate introduction to their signature beer, get your brain peaked for the flavors and how it unfolds in your mouth and what you'll be noticing. A free first-time experience for guests unfamiliar with virtual reality is currently available.
Oh.
Additionally, Redline is offering an a la carte arcade gaming for $10 per each 10-minute increment. That's not bad. That's
not bad at all.
That's not bad at all. All right, cool. So it's ready. It's going to be ready to open by Halloween. So that sounds like something cool in the Ravenswood neighborhood. Very cool. Redline VR, and we'll keep you updated on that. You know, Dan, maybe we can get the guys.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Yeah,
get them on. Talk about it. Very cool. Very, very cool, man. If we can turn the world into Ready Player One, we can listen to Jump by Van Halen all day long. All right, let's take a break. We got the news coming up next, and then we will be joined by David Allen Arnold, and he is an airborne cameraman with a really, really interesting story. That's coming up right here on 720 WGN. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio, and we're here until 5 a.m. It is Friday morning, and that means all of our regular Friday features will be happening. Fly Jams Friday, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy, all coming up. We're also going to talk about the nominations for the this year's inductees in the Toy Hall of Fame, and plus much more here on WGN. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. Right now, I want to welcome to the show an Emmy Award-winning airborne cameraman, and he's worked on things like The Deadliest Catch. He worked on the James Bond movie The World Is Not Enough, and he does aerial shots that you see of sporting events and other things, and it's really an amazing story, and he will be doing the aerial camera work for this this Monday night's Bears game. He's got a book called Help from Above, How I Went from Sweeping the Floor to Painting the Sky, Volume 1. It's available now. His name is David Allen Arnold, and you can check out davidallenarnold.com for more information. We have a link on our Facebook page. But let's welcome him to the show right now. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on. I love this. I'm a big fan of overnight talk radio.
Oh, great. That's great. Well, there you go. That's what we do here. That's fantastic. It's just a fascinating story about what you've done. And I'm looking at, you know, the things that you've worked on, the movies, the television shows, the commercials. It's you have quite the resume, David.
Well, thank you very much. And speaking of overnight radio, one of the things that I did early in my career was I started out sweeping the floor. And when you're working all night doing a thing like cleaning the floor in a warehouse, you know, talk radio is just such a lifeline when I'm doing something like that and I'm tired and there's no one else around and it's kind of a monotonous task. But just to, you know, hear stories like the ones you do on the air overnight just kind of keeps me going, keeps my energy up.
Yeah.
And yeah, eventually I got out of sweeping the floor and started to work on some TV shows and some movies. Really what got me into those roles was the kind of, you know, dedication I had to my work when the only thing I really had to do was clean up the shop.
You know, it's amazing, David, that how many times I've heard that from our listeners, and I know how many listeners, you know, this is a very intimate time to do radio because a lot of people can't sleep, they're lonely, or they're working. Like you said, David, we've got a lot of truck drivers out there who listen to us, people who work the third shift, and I hear those stories all the time about how we actually, like, literally keep people company during the night, and it's an important position to have, I think.
Absolutely. And I'm one of those people. And so, you know, a show like yours where you have such interesting topics and historical things and stories, for me, it's just a lifeline when I'm working into the wee hours.
Yeah. Well, listen, let's talk about this. You started out sweeping floors. How does one go from sweeping floors to being an airborne cameraman working on James Bond movies? Can you give me kind of an idea on how that happened?
It's interesting. I sort of learned over time that I have been given a number of opportunities in my career simply because of my willingness to work hard and not complain. Mm. And so sweeping the floor, although it seems like an unlikely path into the world of television and movies, it actually kind of was a natural path because I found out over time that, you know, some of the big bosses that I came in contact with when I was just a kind of a hungry kid off the streets, they were looking for someone who would not have an attitude, not make things worse if there was a problem at work, and just simply work hard, you know, be nice to everyone and not complain. And so me doing simple things like showing up on time, doing my best, even if it wasn't a glamorous task at work, and being someone that they could always count on to make things better and not worse, is something that opened doors for me. And then within 6 months of, you know, even though I started sweeping the floor, within 6 months, they were sending me out to work on TV shows and movies.
And had you had experience behind the camera before?
Not really. I was a young kid. In fact, when I started, I was too young to rent a car. So they would send me to Chicago to work on a movie. And I couldn't, they would send me to the, you know, I'd land at the airport. But when I went to the rental car counter, I wasn't 25 yet. So I couldn't rent a car.
Wow.
Rental car companies won't do that until you're 25. And so it was interesting. And definitely an adventure, you know, for someone like me to come in off the street with no experience and no expertise, really. And, you know, to be thrown into a, you know, a high-paced world of television and movie production was, it was kind of a bit of a whirlwind for me. And like I said, it was a little bit of a shock to my colleagues that I had been hired with no experience.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of glad I finally wrote a book about my experience, because so many people ask about that. The questions that I get when I travel, people see the massive $1 million high-tech gyro-stabilized cameras that I use on helicopters and airplanes. And they look at all that technology and they go, wow, you must have gone to school for this, right?
Uh-huh.
And I have to tell them, no, I'm not. I'm not college educated. I'm just a blue-collar guy. And I didn't take a college path into my career. And the next question that they always ask is, well, how do I get a job doing something like that, you know, flying in Chicago for Monday Night Football? And I always tell them, listen, when I got my dream job, they weren't hiring. So the answer, I think, to anyone who wants any kind of job, I think, it, you know, in this light, is to just go for it and to just make yourself available. You know, and in my case, I used to just go door to door, and I would knock on business doors, and when they opened, I would say, hey, anything I can help you guys with, I'll work for free, you know, I'll start right now. And and doing that enough and being persistent about it caused the door to swing open one day, and here I am.
Wow, that's amazing. That really is. Now, did you start out, David, did you start out airborne camera, or were you on the ground first working behind the camera and then moved up, you know, no pun intended?
Well, it was my first job in TV and movies is what I'm still doing. And so when the door swung open, it was interesting. At first, they told me to get lost. They said, we don't need you to come in and do anything for us. All we do are helicopter cameras. And I listened. I said, oh, okay, well, whatever. I scratched them off my list. I quit knocking on that door. And I went to other doors. But these guys called me back 3 weeks later. They called me.
Mm-hmm.
And they called me in for an interview. And they said, listen, we could hire somebody with qualifications, you know, from one of the big media cities like Hollywood or New York. But the one thing we like about you is you seem hungry. Are you hungry? And I said, oh, yeah, I'm hungry.
Mm-hmm.
But I really didn't know anything about aviation or airplanes or helicopters. I had no interest in aviation, wasn't looking for a flying job. But I really was hungry. And because they were giving me an opportunity, I went home and I took a picture of me cutting into an old greasy work boot as if it was a sirloin steak with a big smile on my face. And I sent the picture to them the next day. And they told me later, they said when the boss saw that picture, you had the job.
Oh, wow. So tell me about the first time you went up, the first thing that you did.
Well, the first time that I went up, we were working on a Cindy Crawford movie in Miami, and I had actually been sweeping the floor all night long, and no one told me to do that. I just knew that the shop was a mess, and the big movie guys in the shop didn't have time to clean up, so I just spent all night cleaning up the shop and sweeping the floor, mm-hmm. and when the bosses came in the next day, they didn't recognize the place. It was so neat. And my supervisor at the time, he pointed to me and he said, "That's it. You're going with me on my next shoot." So next thing I know, I'm with him in Miami. I'm sitting in the back of his helicopter, and we're floating off the ground in Miami with a 35 millimeter movie camera bolted to the front of the helicopter. Mm. And it was amazing. It wasn't what I thought it would be. I thought it would be violent and like riding a roller coaster, but I found it was really smooth, and it wasn't uncomfortable in any way. It was just like sitting in a couch, and then the couch just sort of floats off the ground, and now we're flying above the city of Miami, and I can look out the windows and see the entire population of the city, you know, is all within our field of view, and so that was my introduction to flying cameras.
Wow, that's amazing. And so tell me about some of your favorite events that you've covered. Now, and let me ask you this. What are the challenges that are different between doing, say, a movie and doing a live event? Which one is more challenging for you?
Well, I think they're all challenging in different ways. The live TV shows, like Monday Night Football, are a challenge because there's no opportunities to redo it. So when they put my camera on the air,
yeah,
I'm camera 13. When they say ready 13, take 13, that's it. 10 million people are watching the picture that's coming through my lens,
mm-hmm.
and so I have to get that right. There's only one time; it's got to be done right the first time. Everyone's watching, and so there's a little bit of a pressure, you know, of 10 million people watching what I'm doing. And I'm sure you can relate. You have so many people listening to
right.
your show and hanging on your every word.
Right.
And so there's a little bit of pressure that comes with that. And also, you know, I do like challenges. I love adventure. And so for me, that kind of pressure is exhilarating and I enjoy it. It sort of forces me to rise to the occasion. And I think it's a great thing to have at work is that kind of pressure to shine,
yeah.
you know, on time.
Yeah, that's great. Hey, David, hang on, okay? We have to take a break. All right, David Allen Arnold is with us, and he is an Emmy Award-winning airborne cameraman, and he will be covering the air for the Bears game on Monday night. And he's done a ton of stuff, too, movies, commercials, and he's written a book. We'll talk all about that and more after we take a break here on 720 WGN. All right, welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, 18 stories above downtown Chicago, and we are here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, the great Steve Cochran at 6. It's Friday morning. That means all of our regular Friday features will be happening. And coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. And right now, though, we're talking with David Allen Arnold. He's an Emmy Award-winning airborne cameraman. Started out sweeping the floors and now is up, you know, in the air covering live events from the sky and working on movies and all kinds of great stuff. He's written a book called Help from Above, How I Went from Sweeping the Floor to Painting the Sky, Volume 1, which is available now. And let's welcome David back to the show. David, welcome back.
Thank you so much. I just absolutely love being here with you and your overnight audience.
Thanks. I appreciate that. So let's talk a little bit about the dangers. I'm not good with heights, David. I would never be able to do what you do. But what are the inherent dangers that are involved in doing this?
Well, flying cameras with a helicopter or an airplane can be very dangerous. Sometimes we're at risk because of the weather that we're flying in on Deadliest Catch. Deadliest Catch is kind of famous for the sort of frozen hurricanes that they have up there. And I know everyone's focused right now on the hurricane that's coming to the eastern seaboard.
Right.
And you know, when we're on Deadliest Catch, we're in the far north in the Bering Sea, and those kind of storms come every year. And, you know, we're filming these fishermen who drive their boats into that weather to go and catch king crab for us. And it's just an unbelievable, it's a spectacular adventure to witness that and to see what these guys do, in a very dangerous environment.
Yeah, but I watched the show, and it's remarkable, actually. Incredible.
Yeah, it's kind of sensory overload. These boats are crashing through mountainous waves.
Yeah.
And hovering next to that boat is a helicopter with me in it and our camera system. And it's a dangerous job. You know, we just have so many things that can go wrong. I tell the story in the book of when I first started on Deadliest Catch on season one, the Coast Guard guys who fly there and they have a version of the Black Hawk helicopter called the Jayhawk, mm-hmm. which has two engines. It has buku power. It's a badass machine. It has heated blades so that the ice up there doesn't stick to their blades and cause a problem. And those flight crews came over and looked at us in our little helicopter, and it was as if they had seen a ghost. And one of them looked at me, and he goes, "You guys are going out in that?" And
Oh, man.
And when he said that, they had just crashed a Jayhawk in the Bering Sea.
Oh.
They were trying to rescue some guys from a sinking cargo ship, and one of the Coast Guard guys leans into me and he goes, "You know, it's so gnarly out here that we have to check in when we're flying every 10 minutes with our office so that they know we're still alive."
Oh, my God. Wow.
And so that was my introduction to the world of Deadliest Catch.
Oh, man.
And, yeah, it was pretty harrowing. And so in the book, I talk some of those stories of the storms that we've flown through, some of the really dangerous things that we've done over the years as part of making the show with the helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like I said, I'm glad I finally wrote a book about it so that people can see some of those stories that they wouldn't otherwise have known, you know, what went into making that show.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, and some of your credits include Entourage, Amazing Race, Celebrity Apprentice, Ice Road Trucker, Survivor. You've done American Idol, The X Factor. You've done Hell's Kitchen, Master Chef. You've covered the Super Bowl. You've covered the World Series. You've done The Biggest Loser. I mean, you've been all over the place with the aerial camera work. Is there a favorite event that you've covered or a favorite thing that you've done?
Well, definitely the 2016 World Series.
Oh, well,
Chicago.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Woo! I mean, I've shot thousands of sporting events,
yeah.
And I enjoy them all, and I love to see the people come out, the crowd, and everyone's all excited to watch the game, and
yeah.
it's such a fun part of life. But I have never seen anything like what I saw at Game 5.
Yeah.
In Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just such an incredible thing to look down and see an entire city focused on what's happening in that stadium.
Yeah.
And it was a little foreboding because we knew that, you know, teams haven't come back from being behind in a World Series like that before, you know, recently, and it was kind of a lot of pressure. And the police, the Chicago police, you know, starting that morning, they started surrounding that stadium.
Yeah.
So much so that during the game, there was an army of police, basically arm in arm, all the way around that stadium. They had the place surrounded because they didn't know, well, what if this doesn't go well? There could be a riot.
And right.
So they were all poised and ready to squash any kind of disturbance that would come after the game. And the game ends. The Cubs pull it off. They won. They kept hope alive for the entire city. And let me tell you something about looking down on a stadium from our airplane during the game. The stadiums start emptying 30 minutes before the end of the game, typically.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of the game, the stands are mostly empty. People are already waiting in traffic to get home.
Right.
And that game, an hour after the game was over, I looked down and the stadium was still packed.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like it. It was amazing. And I want to say it was maybe 2 hours later that people finally, you know, started to leave. And as they came out of Wrigley Field, just they're high-fiving the police.
Yeah.
it was unbelievable. And from our altitude, we can see the entire city, you know, as we're flying next to the stadium. And I'd look out across all the buildings of Chicago, and there were W flags everywhere. Mm. And it's just, in the world of sports, I've been all over the country. I've shot Super Bowls. I've shot World Series before. I just had never witnessed anything like that. And that was, you know, that was only game 5.
I know. And it got even crazier. That's great, yes, man. That's a great story. Thanks for sharing that. And you got to record all that and witness it. Listen, David, it's been so much fun talking to you. Your book is available. It's called Help from Above, How I Went from Sweeping the Floor to Painting the Sky, Volume 1. We didn't even talk about your battle with organized crime, which is also in the book as well. But people can check out davidallenarnold.com for more information. It's a great story that you have, David, and continued success. And we'll see you in Chicago on Monday.
Nick, thank you so much.
All right.
And you mentioned truck drivers. I want to give a shout out to everybody who's driving a truck and listening to you on the radio. I love you guys. Be safe. And I used to be just like you, working all night and listening to a show just like this.
Got it. Thanks. David, so much fun to talk to you. Take care.
Thank you, Nick.
All right, see you. There you go. David Allen Arnold. What an amazing story. Sweeping floors to flying 2,000 feet in the air, covering news events and stories and movies. And it's a great story. And his book is called Help from Above. All right, we'll take a quick break. We got the news coming up next right here on 720 WGN. All right. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And, it's Friday morning. We are live in the Skyline Studio here, the Allstate Skyline Studio, and we'll be here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. It's Friday, Fly Jams Friday. Yeah. We'll be coming up, straight out of context, Nick D Show Spies, and you big dummy. Hey, Dan, I was just thinking.
Yes.
That, since Esmeralda is no longer here, regularly, that when we do you big dummy, we should open up the phone lines afterwards and have the third boat be from a listener.
I like it.
So, because you and I tie, if you and I vote, it'll be a tie every time.
Yep.
Or unless we're unanimous. But it would be, if I voted on something different, we would have to have somebody call. So
sure.
We need that third vote, the odd vote.
Yep.
So we'll open up the phone lines after we read those stories and do the recap, and first person through will vote for, will be one of the votes that we have. Then if we end up with a tie again, everybody votes for a different one, then we'll have to have a second person call.
There you go.
But anyway, so that's what's coming up a little bit later on. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us. So the Toy Hall of Fame has been around since 1998, and each year they throw out some nominees to join the Toy Hall of Fame. Now, I would love to hear from you guys. What were your favorite toys growing up? 312-981-7200. And I'll tell you this year's nominees, and then we'll go back and look at the past Hall of Fame inductees. And we talk about this every year because it's fun and it's cool. And here are the let me read you the story, and then we'll go through the details on who the nominees are for possible Toy Hall of Fame inductees. And again, we would love to hear from you. What toys are you wondering about whether they're in the Hall of Fame? What were some of your favorite toys? What do you think should be in the Hall of Fame? 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 312-981-7200. So here's the story. There's one in particular here that's being introduced or is being nominated.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, there's two that I'm surprised aren't in already.
You know, yeah, there's a bunch that you're always kind of like, huh?
Yeah, how did that not get in already?
Right.
But here's the story, and then we'll go through the nominees. He-Man is among the finalists, along with American Girl dolls, Tickle Me Elmo, the Magic 8-Ball, and a card game Uno, for the annual National Toy Hall of Fame competition. 12 toys were chosen by a selection committee of industry, education, and community experts. 3 toys will be inducted into the Toy Hall of Fame. The public can cast their vote for favorite toy through September 19th as part of a player's choice ballot. So you guys have until September 19th if you want to vote. The three toys that received the most public votes will be considered by the selection committee, with the public collectively acting as one member of the committee. To win, a toy must best meet the criteria of icon status, longevity, discovery, and innovation. The annual induction ceremony is November 8th. Do we know the website that people can do their voting at? Is it just
I think it's Strong Museum. I'll double check.
Okay. But so you have until September 19th to cast your vote for these finalists who are nominated this year to join the rest of the toys in the Toy Hall of Fame. Here we go. American Girl Dolls, created in 1986. Wow, has that really been around that long? 1986. I don't know why I thought it was a more recent thing. Was it always was it even in 1986, Dan? Was it always a big thing?
I don't remember them in 86, but I do remember them in the early 90s.
Okay.
So it might have been one of those, like, it started,
it took
but
a little
really
while,
exploded in 5 years.
Yeah. The 18-inch American Girl Dolls explore America's social and cultural history. Each doll comes with a narrative that fits her era. Molly McIntyre, for example, is waiting for her father to return from home. To return home from World War II. The My American Girl line, released in 1995, features dolls designed to look like their owners. Oh, yeah. yeah, I remember that. So, American Girl Dolls is your first finalist. How about this? Chalk. Now, they have weird inductees and nominations every year, Dan. There's at least two or three where you're like, what?
Right.
This is like one of them, chalk. Historians believe that chalk was important in the lives of the earliest people. Plus, what parents didn't send their kid out to make some to make some chalk art on a summer day. It's also great for an impromptu game of hopscotch. So chalk is a nominee for the Toy Hall of Fame. Chutes and ladders. This is one of them that I can't believe is not in. This is one I can't believe isn't in the Hall of Fame. Chutes and Ladders is based on an ancient Indian game called Snakes and Ladders. Milton Bradley introduced audiences to a much friendlier sounding game in 1943. I mean, come on, it's been around since 1943. It's a classic game. How is Chutes and Ladders not in the Toy Hall of Fame already? So, Chutes and Ladders. Next is the Fisher-Price Corn Popper. Fisher-Price introduced this pushing device with a distinct sound called the Corn Popper in 1957. That's another one.
That one is surprising.
Does Emily have one?
Yep.
Of course. You got to have one. That's, you know?
Yep.
And here's another one that I can't believe isn't in. It's the Magic 8-Ball. How is the Magic 8-Ball not in? The Magic 8-Ball delivers such fortunes as Ask Again Later and Signs Point to Yes when shaken. The cue ball was introduced in 1946. And it reads out 20 answers. So that's a 20-sided die that's in there?
Yeah, it must be, right?
Yeah, right? Because there's not two of them in there. There's only one, so it's a 20-sided. You can also play D&D with it, I guess. Isn't D&D 20-sided? Are they 20-sided dies?
Sure.
Oh, you don't play D&D?
I've never played it.
right there. There's three that I think should already be in. Chutes and Ladders, the game, the Fisher-Price Corn Popper, and Magic 8-Ball. I think those, Dan, these have got to be the odds-on favorite to get in this year.
I would imagine, yeah.
Masters of the Universe toys, including He-Man. He-Man and the Masters of the Universe action figures have been battling since the 80s and have been featured on everything from toothbrushes to sleeping bags. Dan, you had He-Man stuff, right?
I did. The Skeletor had one of the, like, a aluminum stomach, so you could punch it and it'd get indented, and then you'd press a button on the back and it would turn around and his stomach would be flat again.
Wow.
And then you would keep, you know, you could keep going back and forth.
Wow. So you can gut punch Skeletor with visual effects.
Right.
That's pretty cool. All right. So, as a nominee this year, the Masters of the Universe toys, including He-Man. Pinball. This arcade game with flippers and steel balls may have been edged out by home gaming systems, but you can still find them in amusement parks, restaurants, family fun centers, and fairs. Pinball. So that's another one. How about the sled? The good old-fashioned family fun device became mass-produced in the 1800s. The flexible flyer appeared in the early 1900s and remains a wintertime staple. So the sled. All right, how about this? Tic-tac-toe. This simple game of X's and O's became one of the first video games when it was programmed into a computer in 1952. It remains an enduring take-anywhere game because it's easily scratched out on paper using any writing utensil. And also, it saved the world in war games. I don't know if...
Way to bury the lead, Toy Museum.
Man, War Games was a good movie. You like that movie, Dan?
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Man, I love that movie.
And who are the two guys at the beginning? It's Michael Madsen, right?
Michael Madsen and somebody else. That's
yeah,
right.
And the guy who played Leo on The West Wing. Chicago guy, I want to say. One of those great character actors.
Yeah. Those are the two guys who had to turn the key.
John Spencer,
right. Those are the two guys at the beginning of War Games in that really intense scene where they have to, you know, turn the keys at the same time. Man, that's a good movie. I'm going to watch that this weekend. I haven't watched War Games in a really long time. You know who rules in that movie?
Who's that?
Well, first of all, Dabney Coleman, because he's the king of the universe.
Always, yeah.
He's the king, always great. Matthew Broderick, I think, is great in it. Ally Sheedy, one of her first movies. She's great in it. But, man, Barry Corbin. Barry Corbin is the general. Take us to DEFCON Red and take us to DEFCON 4 and get the president on the horn. I love Barry Corbin. He's the best. What the hell show? Was he on Evening Shade? He was on it. No, he was he. What show was he on? He was on a really good show, and I can't remember. Was he on Ed? Was he on Ed?
He might have been.
Barry Corbin. He's the best in that movie. Get the president on the horn. I love that guy, man. I love him in everything. He was John Travolta's uncle in Urban Cowboy. He's the best, Barry Corbin. I'm trying to think of what TV show he was on. But...
Yeah, I'm looking at his Wiki TV. I mean, it's a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
But nothing. Northern Exposure.
That's it.
There you go.
That's it. Northern Exposure. That's the one. I knew it was a quirky show. That's why I thought Ed. I knew it was quirky. Hey, by the way, speaking of TV shows with names of guys, one name. That was what I was thinking of. We weren't speaking of it. But I was thinking. Have you seen the trailer for the Shazam?
No.
Is it Shazam? Is that a
Shazam is the music thing. That's Jamie Foxx show.
Okay. Well, what is it?
There's a Shazam movie coming out from DC.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah.
It's
with the guy dude from Chuck. Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't seen that. Where has that guy been?
Yeah, he kind of fell off the earth, although Esmeralda met him at the bar, didn't she?
Oh, yeah, she did. She saw him at, that's right, she saw him at the bar.
He was in the Thor movies, too.
Oh, he is in the Thor movies. Wow, I completely forgot, because I thought Chuck was a good show. I thought that was a fun show.
Yeah, it's entertaining.
Yeah. All right, okay, we've got three more here to get to, but let's talk to Joe real quick before we break. Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Listen, you know, these are probably already in the list, correct me if I'm wrong. Lincoln Logs and Erector Sets, Lincoln, are they not in the Hall of Fame already?
Lincoln Logs were the original, one of the original inductees, and so was the Erector Set. Both of them were the original inductees into the Hall of Fame.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I assumed that. Dan put me on hold right away. I was going to ask him if there's a pizza involved for the third guest.
Yeah, well, we'll see. All right, Joe. Thanks, buddy.
Your budget, yes.
There you go. All right. Yeah, those were in the original inductees. I'll tell you all about the original inductees as well. Let's take a break. We got three more nominees for this year's Toy Hall of Fame. What do you guys think? 312-981-7200. What do you think should be in the Hall of Fame? What toys did you love when you were growing up? And out of the new ones that are nominated, what would you vote for? 312-981-7200 is the phone number, and we'll be right back. Right. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios in downtown Chicago. We're here till 5 o'clock. Overnight dude here, 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. every weekday morning. It is Friday. That means all the regular Friday features will be coming up. And you can call us and text us at 312-981-7200 for talk and text. And we are talking about the Hall of Fame, Toy Hall of Fame, inductees. Now they brought out the nominations, and 12 toys have been chosen by a committee to be nominated for consideration of induction into the Toy Hall of Fame. So far, we've mentioned American Girl dolls, chalk, Chutes and Ladders, the Fisher-Price Corn Popper, Magic 8-Ball, Universe Masters of the Universe toys, including He-Man, Pinball, the Sled, Tic-Tac-Toe, and we've got three left, Tickle Me Elmo. I'm sure Dan Feinberg would be thrilled with this with this choice, considering a couple of weeks ago how we found out how he really feels about Elmo. Tickle Me Elmo became a worldwide phenomenon during the 1996 holidays. Everyone had to have it. Elmo moved and giggled when poked and tickled. Tudor Electric Football. In this game, tiny plastic players vibrate across a motorized football field. People love it so much that this game is celebrating its 70th anniversary this year. Do they still sell these things? Did you ever have one of those, Dan?
I never did. I played with them, but never had one.
I had one. They're ridiculous. That's one of my favorite moments in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. Remember, they have to play, you know, because like, it's a takeoff on the Ingmar Bergman movie where they play chess against death. But they play like all kinds of games, like Battleship, and and at one point they're playing this the electric football. and then finally, Uno, the card game. Easy to learn, quick to play. Simply try to get rid of all of your cards in your hand. The game was created in 1971. So those are the nominees: American Girl Dolls, Chalk, Chutes and Ladders, the Fisher-Price Corn Popper, Magic 8-Ball, Masters of the Universe toys, including He-Man, Pinball, Sled, Tic-Tac-Toe, Tickle Me Elmo, Tudor Electric Football, and Uno. Which ones do you think belong in the Hall of Fame? What would you vote for? They're going to induct three of these 12 on November 8th, and you can vote until September 19th. So what do you guys think? 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Let's hear from you. We got some texts coming in. 224 area code says electric football, so there you go. They love that. 262 area code says Spirograph and Light Bright. They have to be already in there. They've got to be, right? We'll find out because I'm going to go through the list. 773 area code says, I've been reading about the amount of toys being purchased by adults. It's a lot. I'm in my 60s and I still like a good teddy bear. All right. What do you guys think? 312-981-7200. Of the 12 possible nominees here, which ones do you think should be put into the Toy Hall of Fame? And I've got a list of all of the inductees of the Toy Hall of Fame. 312-981-7200, talk and text. Here's Paul on WGN. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Nick.
Hi.
I had a favorite that was Incredible Edibles.
Incredible Edibles.
Don't you remember? You'd make your own rubbery snakes and bugs, and then you could eat them.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
There was little molds that you'd pour the drops of stuff in, and then it would harden to like rubbery stuff, and then you could eat them.
It was like gummy candy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first gummy candies.
Yeah. The Incredible Edibles. I don't know if that's in there. We'll have to look through the inductees and see if they're that's part of the Hall of Fame. All right, Paul.
Okay,
thanks, man.
Bye.
See ya. You know, it's always weird that like that was a popular, you know, that was a popular toy, I guess, I would imagine in the 70s, because when I was a kid, because back in the 60s and 70s, you know, eating or drinking a toy was always just like, what are we talking about here? And there were like, you know, I've talked about this before. When I was growing up in the late 60s and early 70s as a kid, I mean, they had toys out there that could kill you. Like dangerous toys, like really dangerous toys that could kill you. I had it when I was a kid. I had a wood burning kit. I had a wood burning kit, and I was like 8. And a wood burning kit it's essentially a soldering iron. Like you're giving an 8-year-old kid a soldering iron. You know, and you burn wood with it. You plug it in, and the metal tip gets hotter than the surface of the sun, and then you burn shapes into wood. And, you know, if you have a sister, you also burn her Barbie dolls. You see, what is the wood-burning kit going to do to Barbie's face? You know, if you've got a younger sister, you ruin her toys. But can you imagine, going to a birthday party and you know, for like a 6-year-old kid and going, yeah, I brought your kid a soldering iron.
Right.
But back in the 60s and 70s, that was fine. Chemistry sets, all kinds of weird liquid. Hey, let's drink this. See what this tastes like. Oh yeah, no, that, you know, and then I mean, we do always mention jarts.
Sure.
You know, they've been outlawed. You can't buy them. The only thing you can do, Dan, you know, you can buy them from, I guess, overseas, but they come in a kit. They're not prepared. You have to build them yourself. You can buy all the components legally, but if they sold them as a jart or a set of lawn darts, then that's illegal.
That's probably saved a lot of injuries, because if you're not smart enough to put it together, you probably shouldn't be playing with jarts in the first place.
That's a really good point, man. That's a real good point. All right, listen, why don't we take a break? And we're talking about the Toy Hall of Fame. And those are the nominees for this year. What do you think belongs in? What are your favorite toys? And we'll go through the past inductees as well. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We'd love to hear from you. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio here in downtown Chicago. We're here till 5 o'clock. It's Friday morning. All the regular Friday features will be happening later on. Fly Jams Friday. We'll be back. Straight out of context, Nick D. Show Spies and You Big Dummy. And since we only now have two votes, since Esmeralda is gone, we need another person to vote, a third person to vote on who is the biggest dummy. So we'll open the phone lines after we do the recap of the stories later on. So there you go. We are talking about the Toy Hall of Fame, and we have 12 possible nominees here. They will be inducted on November 8th. You can vote for which toys you think should be inducted. You can vote through September 19th online. It's a player's choice ballot. And the toys, again, are American Girl Dolls, Chalk, Chutes and Ladders, Fisher-Price Corn Popper, Magic 8-Ball, Masters of the Universe toys, including He-Man, Pinball, Sled, Tic-Tac-Toe, Tickle Me Elmo, Tudor Electric Football, and Uno. Those are the possible inductees this year. So, I've got a list here of all of the Hall of Fame inductees. So if you're wondering maybe if your favorite toy is in the hall, I will let you know. Dan, did you have a favorite toy or a couple that when you were a kid?
Yeah, you know, I had a Transformer tractor that I got when we were visiting Puerto Rico that I played with a lot of times. It was just very small, but, you know, that was fun to play with. And those were really popular right around the time I started playing with toys. So I remember that one. And then Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle action figures were a big one. You know.
Yeah, the turtles were big for you.
Right, right, right. That was right in my wheelhouse. And those are the ones that stick out.
Yeah. For me, without question, it was G.I. Joe's. And those were the... And Hot Wheels. You know, Hot Wheels and Matchbox cars. Those are big. But yeah, no, I mean, it was... I think G.I. Joe was number one. There's just no question about it. And the real G.I. Joe's, not the... where they're fighting snakes or the Snake Man or the Cobra. Cobra, right? Cobra?
Yes, Cobra.
I've seen the two movies, too, and I still don't know what the hell's going on. But I have to say that my G.I. Joe never had any lessons. Like, you never learned.
That's a shame.
You never learned anything.
It probably would have been like, don't set your sister's Barbie on fire with your soldering iron.
Yeah, there was a lot more danger in the 70s. I think G.I. Joe would have ran out of messages. Dad, can you find a couple of those G.I. Joe messages? I love that, because the animated series, the G.I. Joe, and that was in the 80s, right? Or in the 90s?
Yeah, late 80s, early 90s.
Late 80s, early 90s. They always had like a message at the end. It was always like...
Knowing is half the battle.
Knowing is half the battle. You watch The Adventures of G.I. Joe, and then you learn a lesson at the end. And a very specific lesson. Like, there's, you know, like, don't run on ice, or I don't know. That's a very, did they ever have that? Don't run on ice?
They had many water-centric ones. I don't know if they had that one.
All right, well, while Dan's looking for some of the lessons that we all must learn thanks to G.I. Joe, we're talking toys. Here's Sean on WGN. Hi, Sean.
How you doing? First time caller.
Thanks, man.
Enjoying your show.
Thank you.
I'm pushing a little bit. I'm pushing towards 60. I'm just wondering, these are in the Hall of Fame, because I wish I had kept them, because they are probably worth something a little bit, I guess. When I was a kid, I had the James Bond Austin Martin.
Ah, so did I.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
You did too?
Oh, yeah. I loved that thing. I loved that car. It was the best.
I wish I had kept it. I'd be worth some money now. Probably.
Yeah, I don't know whether, because my parents have boxes of crap back in where they live in a storage shed there. And I don't know whether that's in there or not, but I that was one of my favorite toys was the Aston Martin from James Bond. It was so cool.
And then I had as a kid, I wish I had kept that. It was a big car, it was a 60, even had a retractable roof. It was a 1964 Thunderbird.
Oh wow!
It was a remote control.
Oh,
it really wasn't a remote control. You had to go behind it. Had a long cord.
Yeah,
and yeah, you could steer it, and then you could let down the top on it. But it had a convertible top.
That's cool.
And then by the mid '60s, I wonder if anybody remembers these. They had the Man from U.N.C.L.E. series attaché case, and then they had the Mattel toy line. It was similar to that too. And then they had another one that was kind of like a secret agent with Secret Sam.
You know why? Because that stuff was huge in the late '60s. That all the spy stuff in the '60s, that was huge. You get from James Bond to Man from U.N.C.L.E., all of that stuff was really a big thing then.
And then there was one more that I wonder if any of your listeners out there know about. You talk about G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
Well, when I was coming up, they had these dolls for males, young males, that you could switch to different, like Batman, or you could switch them to Superman, or you could switch them to Aquaman or Flash. Those came out towards the mid to late '60s.
Oh, okay. So
those are probably collector's items too.
Probably all of this stuff we're talking about is worth money, Sean.
Probably, so. I should go on that one of those. We'll see what they were in one of them pawn shows.
Yeah.
See how much they're worth.
That's exactly right. All right, Sean. Thanks, man. Thank you for the call.
Have a good one.
All right. Have a good morning. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We are talking about the Hall of Fame, the Toy Hall of Fame, and we've got all the inductees and the nominees for this year. There are 12 nominees. Which ones do you think should go in? 312-981-7200. Do we have any lessons that we need to learn?
We do. So this is from G.I. Joe Barbecue. This is what to do if your house is on fire.
Uh-oh.
Smoke! Let's get out of here! Ow!
Don't go out that door!
It's barbecue!
You might let in poisonous gases. Stuff something under the door. And stay low. That way you avoid the heat and gases that rise upward. Remember, if a fire breaks out in your home, always test the door first. If it's hot, find another exit or yell for help.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
Wow. Now who was that?
Barbecue was the firefighter.
Oh, that's his name.
Yes.
Oh, I thought they were having a barbecue.
No.
Oh. All right. So, what did he do? Did he have like a flamethrower or something?
No, he had a containment suit on, so a special firefighter suit that allowed him to go into the burning.
Okay,
house.
So that's bar. Oh, I didn't. I just thought they were all at a barbecue and somebody set the house on fire.
No problem. So this is G.I. Joe Deep Six, who specialized in scuba diving.
Okay.
This is Don't Swim During a Thunderstorm.
I'm not a scaredy cat.
No, but you could be a dead cat. Quick, swim to shore. At even the hint of a thunderstorm, get right out of the water.
Thanks, your advice is electrifying.
If this happens again, you'll know what to do.
No, I know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
So, you'll be a dead cat?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Now, what does he look like, Deep Six? It's a scuba dude?
So not quite scuba, but it's almost like an astronaut, but with a completely clear helmet.
Okay.
So that kind of...
So that's him. That's
yes.
Deep Six.
Yes.
Okay.
This is Mutt.
Mutt?
Who was in charge of the K-9 unit. This is Don't Pet Strange Dogs.
Oh, okay.
Hi, doggy! Nice doggy! Here, boy, come on. Hey!
Don't run!
Mutt!
Walk away slowly.
He tried to bite me.
Never try to pet an animal you don't know. He may be lost, sick, or scared.
You mean he might be dangerous?
That's right. If we don't know, we leave him alone.
And we don't get bit. Now I know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
And they all end with the G.I. Joe.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I say knowing is half the battle constantly because of these things.
So that's been in your vernacular years.
Yes, yes.
Oh, knowing is half the battle. That's fantastic. All right. Well, so this was, and was there one lesson per episode?
Yes, that was always the tag at the end.
At the end of the episode, they would always. What, did it have anything to do with the plot of the episode?
Typically not.
No. It had something to do with the character,
right?
Obviously,
right.
Because all of those
rotation.
They're tied into whatever. Because you know, right. Like the guy who's in charge right. of the K-9 unit talks about that Aquaman or Head Man. What's his Deep Six?
Deep Six, right?
Deep Six.
This one doesn't have a tie-in, as far as I know. This was Quick Kick,
who was
the karate expert.
Okay,
one of several stereotypes because it was the early late 80s and 90s that right. they could get away with. So this is anything worth doing is worth planning.
Okay.
Great treehouse. I built it in 2 days, and I didn't even follow any plans. Why waste time?
Hold on.
Quick Kick! I guess I was in too big of a hurry.
Remember, anything worth doing is worth planning. If you don't plan,
you're out on a limb. Now I know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
So, is it the same kids every time?
No.
Oh, okay, because I was going to say, these are the dumbest kids.
Yeah.
These are the dumbest kids on the planet.
I'm playing jerks all the time.
Oh, man, those are great. How long did that show run? That was on for a long time, right?
Look at this, snow job. Be careful around frozen ponds and lakes.
Oh, wait a minute.
Hey, Joey, watch this. Davey, come back. The ice can break. You're breaking my heart. Help me.
Hold it. Don't go on the ice. You'll only add more weight.
Snow job.
Find something that'll reach.
This branch ought to work.
Remember, frozen ponds and rivers may not be totally frozen.
And we could be skating on thin ice.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
So, I was right.
You were. Snow Job was the skiing G.I. Joe.
So they were all G.I. Joes?
Correct.
Oh, okay. So the G.I. Joe is like the unit. You know, what did I take away from the two movies? I saw both of the movies. How do I not remember? I don't remember anything. I remember.
Really not. That's Quaid.
I don't even remember that. One of the Wayans brothers is in one of them. The Rock is in the second one.
Right.
And I remember kind of liking the second one, but thinking the first one was terrible. Have you seen the movies?
Yeah. I haven't seen the second one, but I saw the first one. Channing Tatum. Bruce Willis.
I don't remember. Wow, God.
Bruce Willis was the original Joe.
Oh, my God. I have no memory. I swear to you, I have no memory at all. I just know that The Rock was in the second one. That's the only thing that I remember. Who played Cobra Face? Was there
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
What?
Yep.
This is all new to me, Dan, and I've seen both of the movies. Did they have a lesson? I don't even remember.
I don't believe there was a lesson.
No lesson? Like The Rock?
I didn't stay through the credits, though.
The Rock didn't say, don't eat glass. Because, you know, there's always a chance that people are just going to eat glass. Well, considering how stupid these kids were in the animated series, I wouldn't put it past them.
920 questioned why the firefighter had a Boston accent. And 773 corrects me. Deep Six was a deep sea diver, not a scuba diver.
Oh, okay, it was a deep sea.
Important distinction.
Hence the name, Deep Six. All right, we got to take a break now that we've learned all these lessons. We come back, we got a bunch of texts, and we're talking Toy Hall of Fame. This year's nominees, who do you think should be nominated? And we'll go through the Hall of Fame inductees themselves and talk about more toys. 312-981-7200 is the phone number, and we'll return. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio, as we are every weekday morning between 1 and 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich follows this show at 5 with the opening bell, and Steve Cochran has your morning drive at 6. It's Friday. That means all the regular Friday features will be coming up. You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and, of course, Fly Jam Friday. That's all coming up. Right now, though, we are talking about the Toy Hall of Fame, and thanks to G.I. Joe, we are learning many lessons. And knowing is half the battle, correct, Dan?
Yes.
Was that a Saturday morning thing?
Yes.
It was a Saturday morning cartoon. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we've got the nominees this year for the Toy Hall of Fame. And if you guys wanted to vote, you can vote until September 19th. As part of the Player's Choice ballot, the inductees, there'll be three of the 12 nominees will be inducted on November 8th into the Toy Hall of Fame. And I got a whole list of all the inductees from the past, and we can talk about that as well. And we'd love to hear from you as to what you think should be inducted. The American Girl Dolls, the Chalk, Chutes and Ladders, the Fisher-Price Corn Popper, the Magic 8-Ball, Masters of the Universe toys, including He-Man, Pinball, the Sled, Tic-Tac-Toe, Tickle Me Elmo, Tudor Electric Football, and the card game Uno. Those are your nominees. Here we got some texts that just came in. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to jump in on this topic. 262 area codes, Tinker Toys. And those were, again, the original inductees. yeah, so that was the original inductees. And by the way, the person who texted in and said that they were 60 and they still look a good teddy bear was also one of the original inductees in 1998-99. Steve says, for those of us who grew up in the 60s and 70s, we had abundance of testosterone. I nominate the Hot Wheels track. Oh, the track? Because you smack each other with it? See, this guy knows, Dan. Steve knows.
Maybe you and Steve hit each other
with
it.
Yeah, we probably did. We probably smacked each other around with the Hot Wheels track. Dan, you got your mic. There we go. 773 area code says, what about Tiny Tears? She was a life-size baby doll with a hole in her mouth for the bottle and a hole in her butt for water to come out. She came with diapers. I do remember that. I thought she was called something Wetsy Wendy or Wendy Wetsy or something like Betsy Wetsy. That's what it was. Wendy Wetsy. I did that for alliteration. That's all. Rich the Garbage Man says, what about Shrinky Dinks? I would imagine the Shrinky Dinks are in there. Yeah, we'll have to check. We'll have to check the Hall of Fame, but I would think Shrinky Dinks would be in there. 812 area code says, me and my mother would play Uno while waiting for my father to get home. Priceless memories. I love Uno. Dan, I've told you the story about when I was doing the show Bitches.
Mm-hmm.
This was a show, it was 13 guys, and everybody was in drag. So I was, and by the way, I am a terrible drag performer. Absolutely terrible. Anyway, we would play Uno. The entire cast would play Uno before and after, and even during, if you know, like it was a two act. So during intermission and all that stuff, we would play. But we altered the cards. So we had draw 40 instead of it was always the big one was draw 4. But we would have draw 40, and then I am rubber, you are glue. We had that, so we put 12 decks of Uno cards together, so it was just stacks, and we would be playing this. We'd play these epic Uno battles where at one point you'd have 60 cards in your hand because we just took a marker and altered stuff. We played these epic and Bitches ran for a long time. We played a lot of epic battles of Uno in the green room during that show. Let's see. 218 area code, Stompers. What are Stompers? You stomp around on them?
I thought so too, but I'm seeing that they're a type of truck.
Okay. Are they just a little toy truck?
Toys, battery-aided vehicles that ran on a single A battery and featured four-wheel drive.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty sophisticated. That runs on run battery and it's got four-wheel drive. Wow. I'm going to tell Tom Appel about that. 262 area code says, I love playing with my brother's wood-burning kit. Also, my Chrissy doll. The Chrissy doll. Yeah, and the old wood-burning kit. All right. Well, here were the original inductees. The first ceremony took place in 98-99. These were the very first Hall of Fame inductees. Barbie, the Crayola Crayon, the Erector Set, the Etch-A-Sketch, the Frisbee, the Hula Hoop, Lego, And it, would anybody have thought that Lego, like, you know, if you would have thought like 40 years ago that Lego would be as popular as it is now, like how insanely popular it is?
It is pretty nuts.
It's crazy. Lincoln Logs, Marbles, Monopoly, Play-Doh, the Radio Flyer Wagon, Roller Skates, Teddy Bear, the Tinker Toy, the Viewmaster, and the Duncan Yo-Yo. How is G.I. Joe not, how was he not in the...
That is surprising.
In the original inductees. How is that possible? So the class of 2000 was the Bicycle, Jax, the Jump Rope, Mr. Potato Head, and the Slinky. Ben, did you enjoy the Slinky?
I didn't, because it would always like get messed up within like an hour. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I you know, when I was a kid, I made the mistake of putting the Slinky. I put my arm through the Slinky, you know, because I was small enough to put my arm through the Slinky, so I'd stick my hand through there and put it up like a long bracelet. And then when I pulled it off, it ripped off all the hair from my arm.
Ouch.
It would hurt like hell, man. I was trying. And I just, that's a very specific memory I have with the Slinky. Now, what about the Slinky dog? Remember, like, the Slinky dog?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Oh, and that's in Toy Story.
Mm-hmm.
They have the Slinky. I wonder who does the voice for the Slinky dog. I don't know if it's anybody. It's not Ratzenberger.
Ernest.
Oh, Jim Varney.
Yeah.
Oh, Jim Varney. Who's Katzenberger in that? Because I know Don Rickles is Mr. Potato Head.
Right.
Katzenberger, I can't remember what he's not the... Because Wallace Shawn is the dinosaur.
Correct.
I can't remember who Ratzenberger was. Because Ratzenberger, doesn't he have a voice in every single Pixar?
He's been in every single one. Yeah.
I love that. I love that Cliff is in every single Pixar movie. That's fantastic. But the
piggy bank.
Always the piggy bank.
And okay. The piggy bank.
Okay. All right, the class of 2001, Silly Putty and Tonka Trucks. How is it that... we got a break. I'm sorry. Oh, my God, look what time it is. Hey, we got news. I'm having too much fun talking about toys. All right, we'll be right back. Yeah, man. All right, welcome back. How's everybody doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. We're here until 5 a.m. It is Friday. That means all the regular Friday features will be coming up. Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show, Spies, You Big Dummy, and Fly Jams Friday. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. You can also follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. But the best way to stay connected is on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Nick D Show. All righty, then. We have been going through the inductees of the Toy Hall of Fame. We have 12 nominees this year. And you can vote on who you think should be, what toy you think should be inducted into the Hall of Fame, Toy Hall of Fame class of 2018. You got till September 19th for your player's choice ballot. And I've been going through some of the other inductees. The class of 2002, the Jigsaw Puzzle and the Raggedy Ann, and her induction that year came after a full year of campaigning from fans. That is a little crazy that it took that long for Raggedy Ann to get in there.
Right.
Yeah. Class of 2003, Alphabet Blocks and Checkers. Class of 2004, G.I. Joe, finally... G.I. Joe, the G.I. Joe brand overwhelmed the competition in a Playthings magazine poll asking which nominated toy most deserved to be honored. The Rocking Horse and Scrabble were the class of 2004. Class of 2005, Candyland, the Cardboard Box, and Jack in the Box. The Cardboard Box. Class of 2006, the Easy Bake Oven and Lionel Trains. Class of 2007, Atari 2600, The Kite, and Raggedy Andy. Oh, it took a few more years for Raggedy Andy to get in there. Class of 2008, The Stick, to go along with your cardboard box. The Stick, curators praised The Stick for its all-purpose, no-cost recreational qualities, noting its ability to serve either as raw material or an appendage transformed in myriad ways by child's creativity. That sounds like a real long excuse as to why a stick has been inducted into the Toy Hall of Fame.
If we just put a bunch of fancy words around it, nobody's going to catch on.
The baby doll that year as well, and the skateboard. In 2009, the ball, just the ball, was brought in. The Game Boy and the Big Wheel. Oh, that took a long time. The Big Wheel took a long time.
Yeah.
2010, class of 2010, the Game of Life and playing cards. Class of 2011, Hot Wheels, finally. That took a long time, too. The Dollhouse and the Blanket. Oh, and another one to go along with your stick and your box. Class of 2012, Star Wars action figures and dominoes. Class of 2013, chess. You know, I bet chess players are like, it's not a toy, man. You think chess players, like serious chess players?
Probably.
Are like, that's not a toy. And the rubber duck, oh, Ernie's happy. Class of 2014, the Little Green Army Men and Bubbles and the Rubik's Cube. Class of 2015, the Puppet, Twister, and the Super Soaker. Class of 2016, Dungeons and Dragons, Little People, and the Swing. In the class of 2017, the game Clue, Wiffle Ball, and Paper Airplane. You can't do anything with a wiffle ball if you don't have a wiffle bat.
Listen, you're having some pitching contest.
Because you buy the wiffle bat, it comes with a wiffle ball right on top.
Right.
I used to play wiffle ball. Dan, did you play wiffle ball?
Oh, sure.
Oh, man, we played it all the time. Remember the wiffle bats that were giant?
I was going to say, did you have the oh, how to phrase this so I don't end up on the Friday.
The big, thin
yellow one or the big wood run?
The big
red,
the,
red one.
The big one. We had both, but I preferred the regular.
No.
I mean, the
really yellow.
Oh, yeah. Because I wanted to, you know, test my skill as hit. Because anybody can, when you got the big giant wiffle bat, you can hit anything. No, I preferred the regular sized wiffle bat. That's another thing we used to beat each other up with. We'd smack us around with wiffle bats. The big one was good for smacking your friend in the head. You want to bash him in the head with the giant wiffle bat. That's always preferable. Here's Chris on WGN. Hi, Chris.
Oh, hi, Nick. You haven't mentioned YMO trains yet, have you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They've been inducted.
Oh, okay. Those have been in. How about the pogo stick?
Pogo stick is not in. I know that the Lionel trucks are in. They went in 2006, but I don't see the pogo.
Oh, I missed that. Yeah.
I don't see the pogo stick here.
Okay, erector set.
Erector set is the original inductin. Yep.
Okay, that's all I got.
Okay, thanks, Chris.
Yep.
Take care. Yeah, the pogo stick not on here. That's kind of a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And although, how many people owned a pogo stick? It was like. A lot of those toys that we've listed, I mean, everybody had one. Like, but I only remember like one person in my grade class having a pogo stick.
I'm trying to remember if anybody. I'd never had a pogo stick. I don't think I ever had a pogo stick.
You'd remember, I think, because those things were like that was one of those toys where it's like, this is going to be great, and then you play with it for like an hour, and it's like, man, this hurts, and it's really a lot of work.
Yeah,
and ends up dust in a corner in the garage.
Yeah. Right next to the Bowflex. I don't remember. Did you know somebody?
And it was that, you know, they got it and we went over and we played with it and like everybody jumped on it a few times and it was like, this isn't as fun as it looks.
Right. And if you lose your balance, you bust your face.
Oh, sure.
So there were so many other ways to bust my face when I was growing up. I didn't need.
Like wiffle bats.
Like right. All right, we've got a bunch of texts here. 312-981-7200. We're doing a little toy talk here. The Toy Hall of Fame will announce the new inductees on November 8th. Let's see. 847 area code says, I remember getting an ice cream maker when I was under 10. An ice cream maker? That's not a toy. That's a kitchen appliance. Somebody bought you an ice cream maker when you were not even 10? I guess that's pretty cool. Is it dangerous? I don't think they're dangerous. Like a 10-year-old working on the ice cream. 847 area code says the hula hoop and the Fisher Price Little People. The hula hoop's in. The Fisher Price Little People are not in.
No, I heard them.
They're in.
They made it in.
They did. Okay. What about the Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down? They're not in.
They are not.
Remember how stupid those things were? Did you ever? Did you? Are you too young for the?
You know, they were still around ish.
Yeah. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. It was stupid. 815 area code says, I was going to say tic-tac-toe and chalk shouldn't even be considered, but I saw that the cardboard box was inducted in 05. What? Brian says, if there was a Kurt Thomas action figure with optional pommel horse, I would absolutely vote for that, especially if it came with a Gymkhana embroidered bag of chalk. Right. Brian, even it doesn't matter what we're talking about. At some point, he's got it all comes around to Gymkhana.
Right.
Lou says, hi.
Just like life.
Just everyday life. It's all about Gymkhana. Hi, Nick. FYI to you and your listeners. Twice a year, the Kane County Fairgrounds hosts a unique toy show, and you'll find all of those toys there. I laugh when I think what my parents paid and what it's now worth. The next one is on October 29th. That's pretty cool. Maybe we can get somebody on for that, Dan. From the Kane County Fairgrounds, or whoever organizes the antique toy show. 262 area code says the G.I. Joe kids were the 80s version of Timmy in the Well with Lassie. You know, I used to watch Lassie, but I don't remember much of it. Was Timmy? Was he just an idiot? Was he always in trouble every week?
That's a good question. I don't know.
But he had to be the most unlucky, accident-prone kid of all time if every week it was Jimmy stuck somewhere. Jimmy's in the well. Jimmy fell down a mountain. Jimmy's in a raging river. Go help him. Peter in Decatur said Raggedy Ann and later Raggedy Andy were created by someone in Arcola, Illinois, a town about 3,045 miles southeast of Decatur. 708 area code says, when I was 8 back in the 60s, I had the 007 attaché case. It had everything you wanted to have so you can kill or spy on someone. Yeah, those were big, man. In the 60s, the spy stuff was big. 708 area code, Chris from Madison says, what about my buddy? Wait a minute, that's Chucky. Right? That's the doll's name, and that's the... My buddy is the Chucky doll. Because I just saw the movie like last month for the first time in years. Child's Play. We screened it at Flashback outside. And
there was an actual non-Chucky edition as well.
Oh, there was. Oh, so My Buddy was a real thing, but then they
kind of co-opted it.
I see. But it is called My Buddy in Child's Play, I think.
Oh, interesting.
312 area code says, tell Nick that Uno cards now come with blank cards. Oh, that's awesome. So you can make up your own crazy cards. We definitely make some ridiculous ones too. That's hilarious that Uno caught on. They've got blank cards in there so you can write your own stuff on them. That's great. 872 says, do you remember an electronic game called Split Second? I do not. Do not. What was Split Second? There was a, I do remember this, Dan. I got it for Christmas, like in 1978 or 79. And it was right when the electronic stuff started to get popular with, you had your Mattel football, handheld football, you know, that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Simon, you remember Simon?
Oh, sure.
So those things were kind of getting hot at that time. It was like the late 70s and into the early 80s when that electronic stuff really started to take off. There was a game, it was a board game, and it had an electronic component to it, and it was called Stop Thief. I don't remember how it was played, but I remember I was very excited that I got it. And I don't know, why don't you look, see if you can find Stop Thief. It was an electronic game from the late, I think I got it in 79, I was like 14 when I got it. And it was called Stop Thief. And I think you had to stop a thief. That would be my guess, judging by the name.
1979.
Oh, it was the same. Yeah, okay.
Electronic Cops and Robbers. A crime is being committed, but where? In the jewelry store, the bank? Where will the thief steal or strike next? You and your opponents are licensed private detectives.
Oh.
The thief you're after is computer-controlled and completely invisible, but you can hear him now. When your electronic crime scanner, you can eavesdrop on the thief wherever he moves on the board. You can hear him in the act of committing a crime. You hear him, too, as he opens a door, crosses a floor, breaks a window, runs on the street, and escapes on the subway. Each sound you hear is a clue that can help you track him down.
Wow. Wow. I just remember being very excited that I had that. It sounds like it's fantastic, and I'm sure all it was bleep, 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 bloop. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. That's Stop Thief. I'm glad I'm not the only one who knows that that thing existed. All right, we'll take a quick break here. When we come back, everybody hang on. You want to get your texts in or your calls in, 312-981-7200. What were your favorite toys growing up, and what do you think should be in the Hall of Fame? And we'll come back and talk about that right after we break here. Oh, man. I had a good timing there, Dan. I sneezed like right
I saw it, yeah.
Wow. What was it? That was good. Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's Nick DiGilio here, and we're here until 5 o'clock. If you would like to join us, it's 312-981-7200. And a little bit, we've got all of our regular Friday features. Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show, Spies, You Big Dummy, and Fly Jams Friday. We are talking about the Toy Hall of Fame. They have announced this year's nominees for possible induction into the Toy Hall of Fame. And we've gone through all the toys that are already in. And we're just talking about toys in general and what should be in and what isn't in the Hall of Fame. And here's Tom on WGN. Hey, Tom.
Good morning. I think there's been a grave injustice with the Toy Hall of Fame. You know, the Stop Thief is one thing, but Count Fartula?
Oh, yes. Yes, Count Fartula.
And his buddy. And his buddy.
Yeah, Fartenstein.
That's right.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Well, we'll have to petition for them to be...
That's right, man. I'll be on Team Fartula.
You know what? We're not very far away from Count Fartula and Fartenstein being taken out of the office and brought in here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is.
It's getting close. It's getting close. All right, Tom, thank you.
Play wings.
Thank you, Tom.
All right.
Yeah, he's even gotten the phrases memorized. The wind beneath my wings. Yeah, they're, you know, you can see them if you walk past our office, Dan. They're they're proudly on the top shelf.
They are.
Sitting right next to each other, farting. Right not very far from JoJo, the mascot of Jewel.
JoJo doesn't fart. He's a class act.
He is absolutely classy. All right. Let's take a look at this and wrap this up. After 3:30, I have this story about the 11 of the oldest foods and drinks ever discovered. And they weren't in the back of your fridge. Hold on a minute. Hold it a second now. Anyway, yeah, we got some text here. 630 area code says, Clomper Stompers were a pair of inverted yellow plastic cups with blue plastic ropes that you stood on and stomped and clomped around on. Oh, that yeah, I remember those. Yeah, that must have been pleasant for parents. Hey, let's go get something that our kids can stomp around and make a bunch of noise. 630 area code says, how about Green Machine or Micro Machines? The Green Machine, the Green Machine was like the alternate big wheel. And it had like a crazy brake. You can pull the brake and it can slide. I remember that. 218 area code says, what about paddle ball? No. How about the pet rock from the 779 area code? Can you believe only in the 70s would people buy a rock? Yeah, man. Let's blow some weed and go buy some pet rocks. 630 area code. Did I miss Rock'em Sock'em Robots? They were the best. No, they're not in there. Rock'em Sock'em Robots? How are they not in the Hall of Fame?
Very surprising.
847 area code says, Mr. Potato Head, he's in. 84815 says, did I miss Silly Putty? Stretch it and roll it up and bounce it. Silly Putty's not in there. Play-Doh is, but Silly Putty isn't. Northside Len says, my dad got so mad at my brother and I for using the big red wiffle bat to hit all the crab apples from our yard and onto the neighbor's yard. That's pretty funny. Of course you're going to use a giant wiffle bat to smack crab apples. What else are you going to do in life? That sounds to me like hours of fun. Now, I'm 53 years old. I'd like to go outside with a giant wiffle bat and smack crab apples around for 5 hours onto somebody else's lawn. That's fantastic. 815 says, hey, Nick, don't forget soccer boppers. They were inflatables that go on your fist so you can beat up your friends. Oh, yeah, I remember those. Hey, any device or a toy that assists in beating up your friends is a good toy. Hey, what about the click-clacks? Clip-claps?
Oh, yeah.
Remember those things?
I remember you talking about them.
Two, like, ceramic balls, like the size of baseballs, on the end of a rope that you would hold in the middle, and then you would manipulate it so that they would go clink, clunk, clink, clink, clunk, clunk. And I can't tell you, you know, how many testicle shots kids took from that. And I mean, and these were hard. I mean, it wasn't like these were like little, you know, soft balls. These were hard. They were like ceramic so that they could make that clip-clap sound. That was the whole point, was to get that rhythm going so that the balls are slamming into each other back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, making that click-clack sound. Inevitably, one's going to go flying and hit you right in the groinal region. I had a pair of those. And that's what I said after I played with them. I had a pair of those. Hold on a minute now. Wait.
All right.
Yeah, those were fun. Again, another very safe toy for the kids to play in the 70s. All right, let's see. We got more here. Texts coming in. Chris in Elk Grove Village said, Chucky was a good guy. Oh, yeah, that's right, good guy. I just saw the movie a month ago, and I still forgot. I mean, I saw it. I saw the movie like a month and a week ago. Okay, 618 area code. Marbles, they're in. Pickup sticks, they're not. And Operation is not. Wow. A lot of toys out there still not in the Hall of Fame that I think justifiably could be. Susan said, is Pong in? No, Pong is not in. Game Boy makes it before Pong. I don't know about that. Pong's the original.
Well, Atari's in, right? And that was...
Yeah, but Pong was the original. Just called Pong. 630 area code says, what about the Rubik's Cube? Yeah, it's in. The only way I could beat it was to take all the stickers off and put the matching colors on each side. That's what everybody does. It took me an hour. My aunt was babysitting me, and she was so impressed that she made me brownies. She still doesn't know that I cheated. She does now if she's listening. The 219 area code says, the girl version of my buddy was kid sister. 815 area code, or 812 area code says, Mousetrap and Kerplunk. And 815 says, the Evel Knievel bike. I had the Evel Knievel bike. It's a wonder why we used to beat the hell out of each other. One of our heroes was Evel Knievel, broke every bone in his body, jumped motorcycles, jumped over the canyons, and he was like our hero. So there you go. All right. Let's break. We're going to the news. When we come back from the news, I have this ridiculous story about the oldest foods and drinks ever discovered. I'm glad it's been recorded. All right. News is up next. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio here till 5 a.m. It's Friday morning. All of our regular Friday features will be coming up. Straight Out of Context, Nick D. Show Spies, You Big Dummy, and Fly Jams Friday. Hey, Vic, let me ask you, did you have a favorite toy when you were growing up?
I was listening while I was riding. I'm with you on the Hot Wheels. That was my favorite toy.
That was your favorite, yeah.
Loved playing cars outside. What was it? Well, definitely had the Evel Knievel thing. I was a big Evel Knievel fan.
Yeah,
loved it.
People don't just remember just how big that guy was.
Yeah, he was like a hero to me. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, okay.
Oh, and then also, I used to like playing with the little army men. Yeah, sure. My brother and I would mess up the blankets on the bed, like, and make it into an imaginary mountain.
Look.
And we'd play, you know, like on Saturdays, we'd play in our jammies until probably lunchtime.
Right. Sure. Of course, man. Oh, yeah. That was great. Great stuff. Yeah. Yeah. So the Toy Hall of Fame is happening, and they're going to be inducting three of those 12 that we talked about a little bit earlier on. So that's coming up. Hey. Dan, where is this story from with the oldest foods and drinks ever discovered?
Mental floss.
Of course. I love mental floss. All right, so if you, in case you've been wondering, hey, what are the oldest foods and drinks that have ever been discovered?
Hey, Nick.
What, yes?
What are the oldest food and drinks ever discovered? Well, I want to know for my high tea on this weekend. By the way, callback, people said Drake Hotel and 3 p.m. The Drake Hotel was probably the one they went to, and it was 3 p.m.
That's exactly what it is. Yes, that's exactly right. Thank you. Thank you, listeners. Yes, that's where my ex and her bridesmaids went. Drake Hotel, 3 p.m. for high tea. All right, are you ready? Antarctic fruitcake. Isn't most of fruitcake, isn't it? Doesn't it feel like it's from the Antarctic when when you get a fruitcake? An almost edible fruitcake believed to have been abandoned by British explorer Robert Falcon Scott during the British Antarctic expedition from 1910 to 1913 was rediscovered on the frigid continent over 100 years later. Back then, fruitcake was a popular food in England, and the cold climates may have led to an extra appreciation for its high fat and sugar content. Sadly, Scott never got the chance to savor the sweet treat. He died of starvation and exposure while attempting to become the first person to reach the South Pole in 1912. As for the century-old cake, it was in, quote, excellent condition inside a corroded tin when it was found by Antarctic Heritage Trust in 2017 during an evacuation of the historic Cape Adare hut that Scott once used for shelter. Now, Dan, is it at all surprising that a fruitcake is okay 100 years
right.
later? That doesn't surprise me at all. You know, so I can't, you know, have you ever had fruitcake?
Yeah, once or twice.
Now, there are people out there who maintain that fruitcake is good. It's not. But I guess if you make the right fruit, because I've talked about how bad fruitcake is, and most people, like, they get a fruitcake sent to them, they'll send it to somebody else. Like, there's only one fruitcake in the world, and it just keeps getting sent to different houses.
Which Cochran did. That was a Cochran bit for many years.
Yeah.
He had the same fruitcake that went to every year went to somebody new.
Yeah, which is, you know, that's what happens. But someone, inevitably, during the holidays, when we talk about how bad fruitcake is, someone says, we haven't eaten the right fruitcake. And most of it has to do with the fact that everybody tells me that the good fruitcake is completely and utterly soaked in rum. So I can't have it, but that's what makes a good fruitcake is booze. So that's... All right, how about this? Egyptian tomb cheese. Egyptian tomb cheese? He used to work with Broccoli Rob at the other radio station.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, Egyptian tomb cheese! He did business reports.
I would have picked him as a news guy.
Oh, Egyptian tomb cheese? Yeah, man, with the news, Egyptian tomb cheese. Eating this ancient cheese, you would probably wind up with a nasty case of brucellosis, an infectious disease caused by eating unpasteurized dairy products. Strains of the bacteria were found on the cheese residue, which dates back to 3,200 years. And is the first known example of cheese in ancient Egypt. It's thought it contained sheep and goat milk, but the taste would likely leave a lot to be desired. Professor Paul Kinstedt, who is something of an expert on the history of cheese, told the New York Times this particular product would probably taste really, really acidy. Wow. This dude is an expert on the history of cheese. That's pretty cool. How about this? The world's oldest wine. Roughly 6,000 years before Jesus was said to have turned water into wine, people in the present-day nation of Georgia were concocting their own fermented grape juice. The art of winemaking was previously thought to have been invented in what is now Iran in 5,000 BCE. But prehistoric pottery shards found near the Georgian capital of Tbilisi last year debunked that theory. The chemical analysis revealed that the clay pieces contained traces of citric acid, grape pollen, and signs of prehistoric fruit flies, leading researchers to theorize that the clay pieces once formed decorative vats used to hold vast quantities of vino, about 400 bottles worth. Whoa. About bog butter. Bog butter? Boy, these are all guys that used to be on the morning zoo.
I know. Arctic fruitcake, that dude.
Arctic fruitcake. Bog butter, man, yeah! He was your food and wine critic, bog butter.
Just revealed his face for the first time.
That's right. In 2009, peat workers in Ireland discovered 77 pounds of butter from an oak barrel that had been dumped in a bog and forgotten for 3,000 years. Considering it was such a big batch of butter, historians believe it was made by the community and then submerged in water to preserve it or hide it from thieves. Because those butter thieves, man, you got to guard your butter. The butter turned a whitish color over the course of three millennia, but otherwise remained remarkably intact. This delicacy isn't available for sampling at your local supermarket, though. Shortly after its discovery, it was brought to the National Museum for safekeeping, presumably out of reach of would-be butter bandits. Am I missing something? Do people steal butter?
Maybe back then.
Yeah. How about flood noodles? Oh, yeah, I remember flood noodles. He was great. He was a traffic reporter. Yeah, flood noodles! Although that's actually, he would be more of a weatherman, I would think.
Yeah. Maybe he went to traffic after, you know, try to vary it up.
There are dozens.
He was traffic before he went to meteorological school, and then.
Flood noodles. There are dozens, if not hundreds, of noodle varieties in China alone. But before the advent of wheat or rice noodles, one of the first kinds ever documented in the country and the world was a bowl of 4,000-year-old millet noodles discovered at an archaeological site along the Yellow River. It's believed that an earthquake and subsequent flood caused a hapless diner to abandon his meal, leaving the bowl overturned on the ground for a millennia. A helping of thin, long noodles had been sealed off and was found beneath 10 feet of sediment. This finding also suggests that noodles originated in Asia rather than Europe. Our data demonstrate that noodles were probably initially made from species and domesticated grasses native to China, said Professor Huan Liu. This is a sharp contrast to modern Chinese noodles or Italian pasta, which are mostly made of wheat. All right. How about proto-pita? Oh, yeah. I remember proto. Yeah, man, proto-pita! He was the producer, Proto-Pita. In July of 2018, in a stone fireplace in Jordan's Black Desert, archaeologists unearthed the oldest piece of bread ever discovered. The 14,400-year-old flatbread looked like a little like a pita, except it was made from wild cereals similar to barley, einkorn, and oats. Tubers from an aquatic plant were another key ingredient, reportedly lending the bread a gritty texture and salty taste, so you probably wouldn't want to pair it with hummus or bring it to your next potluck party. How about evidence of primitive popcorn? You know, there's some primitive popcorn in here, Dan. I don't know if you know.
Yeah, there was one in, like, one of the edit bays.
I have no idea what's going on, but there's, like, popcorn on the floor in here, but I have no idea. And it's weird because, like, I'm one of the only people that uses this studio, so I don't know what's going on. They're having popcorn parties in here.
Sean Williams did interview Ken Starr in here, so maybe they were chomping down on some popcorn together.
Evidence of primitive popcorn. Who doesn't love popcorn in a movie? Thanks to the discovery of corn microfossils and an analysis of ancient corn cobs, husks, tassels, and stalks found in present-day Peru, we now know that this snack has been a favorite indulgence for thousands of years, long before the movie industry capitalized on its salty, buttery goodness. People in what is now Peru were eating popcorn and other corn-based foods up to 6,700 years ago, and archaeologists believe it may have been considered a delicacy in their country, in their culture. Oh, wow. All right. I'll do one more here. I'll do another one. This is Buried Beef Jerky. I remember him. Remember him, Dan? Buried Beef Jerky?
Egg, yeah.
Yeah, I'm Buried Beef Jerky, man. Yeah. He was the overnight guy.
Host of the swap meet.
Yeah. Yeah. Buried Beef Jerky. We may think of beef jerky as a modern snack that's best enjoyed on road trips or camping excursions, but different varieties of dried and preserved meat have been enjoyed around the world throughout history, from ancient Egypt to Rome and the Incan Empire. Perhaps unsurprisingly, early Chinese civilizations had their own version of the snack, too. Much like the bone soup discovery, 2,000-year-old beef jerky was unearthed from a tomb in the village of Wanli during an excavation project that started in 2009. Over the millennia, it turned a less than appeasing side of dark green due to the carbonization. But it hadn't shrunk one bit, proving that it had been dried prior to being placed in the tomb. So buried beef jerky. All right. There you go. There's some old food if you want to, you know. So perhaps that piece of Tupperware in the back of the fridge, just hang on to it for a while because it might be later. Mental Floss might write about it.
Dummy. You big dummy. You big dummy. See what you did?
Oh, no, you big dummy.
You dummy.
Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. It's Friday morning, and that means we got our Friday features happening right now, and we begin with You Big Dummy. Also, coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Now, this is when we read real news stories of real people doing real dumb stuff. And then we vote on who's the biggest dummy. And you can be a part of this if you want. You can read a funny, dumb story on the air. And you also get some Lou Malnati's pizza. What you do is find a link to a funny news story where somebody's doing something stupid. Send it to nickdshow@gmail.com and say, I'd like to read this on the air. We'll work it out. You'll read it on the air and you'll get some Lou Malnati's pizza. So there you go.
Dummy number one. Number one.
A radio station received 20 packages of marijuana that were supposed to go to someone else. Yeah! Wonder if Broccoli Rob enjoyed it. The Boston Police Department said workers at the building in Dorchester, which houses several radio stations, contacted police on Tuesday. In a statement, police said officers were able to locate the package, which contained 20 bags of green leafy substance believed to be marijuana. The package and its contents were forwarded to the state lab for analysis. Police said the package, delivered by UPS, was addressed to a specific person who was not known as station employees. Recreational marijuana is legal in Massachusetts, but the law only allows for public possession of up to an ounce, and sales are only allowed by licensed dispensaries.
Yeah!
I'll spell it for you. D-U-M-M-Y, period. Dummy.
Dummy number two. Dummy number two. Dummy number two.
The Ohio Department of Transportation said a highway sign that misspelled Cincinnati was not the department's error. Officials said the sign, which added an additional I, was misspelled by either a contractor or the manufacturer. ODOT said the contractor has been ordered to replace the sign, but the process could take up to 2 months with additional weeks required for installation. The department said the replacement sign was ordered shortly after it was installed on July 30th.
La dee dee, they la dee dum is dummy. Just Donna and me. dummy makes three.
Have you ever seen him act?
I've been watching him act all his life. Like a dummy.
Dummy number three. Dummy number three. Dummy three.
This video, by the way, is on our Facebook page. You should check it out right now. One of the many, many, many reasons that you should like our Facebook page. It's Facebook.com/NickDShow. Facebook.com/NickDShow. And check out the video of this dummy.
Dummy number three.
A pair of thieves stole a 16-foot-long spool of turf from a California woman's home. The woman said the 650-pound spool of turf was dropped off at her home by a contractor who intended to return and use it to landscape her yard. A neighbor's surveillance camera recorded footage of two men pulling up in a Nissan Altima and attempting to shove the spool into their trunk. The woman told KFMB-TV, "I couldn't fathom that they would steal it in broad daylight. They tried to stick a 16 feet of turf in a trunk that's only 2 feet deep. It makes no sense to me." The video shows the men drive off with most of the turf dragging on the road behind the car. She added the thieves left a trail of turf so that she was able to follow for a block before it vanished. The homeowner said she is hoping the footage will lead the thieves to be identified. That's fantastic.
I mean, I didn't know you were interested in gardening.
Why not?
Well, up to now, the only thing you've grown is dumber and dumber. The only reason I call you a dummy is because I call them as I see them.
I can't wait. I've not seen the video. I can't wait to see it. It's on our Facebook page if you want to see that. It's Facebook.com/NickDShow.
Dummy number four. Dummy number four. Dummy four.
A woman pleaded guilty to trying to smuggle nearly 2,000 cigarettes into Scotland by disguising the shipments as shoes. The woman, 32, pleaded guilty in Glasgow Sheriff's Court. It was an attempt to avoid the duty charge of $8,300 on shipments from China. Authorities said she had the cigarettes disguised as shipments of shoes, but they were intercepted at the post office after investigators received an anonymous tip. The woman told investigators that she imported the cigarettes from China because they were more expensive in Scotland. She also said that she shared the smuggled smokes with friends. She is due to be sentenced in October.
My only child is a dummy.
Yeah, I'm worthless, penniless, broke, busted, and
a dummy.
Let's save the fifth dummy for after the news. So we've got one more dummy story to do. And then we vote on who is the biggest dummy. Now, remember, since Esmeralda is not here, you, the listener, the first person through at 312-981-7200, after I do the recap, you will be the third vote. So that way we prevent ties and stuff like that between Dan and I, since there are only two votes. So we need three, and you, the listener, will begin this. This will begin this week. You can call 312-981-7200. After I finish recapping the five dummy stories, you call in and you cast a vote as well. All right, let's take a break. We got the news coming up next, and then we'll finish You Big Dummy, get into Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and start off our funky weekend with Fly Jams Friday. Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. It's Friday. That means all the regular Friday features are coming up. Fly Jams Friday. Straight Out of Context, Nick D. Show Spies, and we are now doing You Big Dummy. Once again, this is where we read five dummy stories. We vote on the biggest dummy, and there you go. And you get to vote, too. One more dummy to go here. Dummy number five. Dummy number five. Number five. Authorities say a grocery store employee has been charged with felony theft for helping herself to deli ham for years. Oh, no. The Columbus Dispatch reports that an 8-year employee of regional grocery chain Giant Eagle was charged Friday with stealing food. The store's loss prevention manager received a tip that an employee had been eating 3 to 5 slices of ham nearly every day for over 8 years. Authorities say she also sometimes ate salami. Oh my God, the estimated cost is $9,200. Oh my God, that's a lot of ham. Other details, including her name, weren't immediately available.
And I can't wait to see you starring in your first movie.
Yeah.
Deep Dummy.
Oh, man. All right. Yeah, we got to do a recap, and then we need somebody to call in for our third voice here. You got the dummy who shipped 20 bags of pot to a radio station. Yeah! The company that misspelled Cincinnati on an Ohio tollway sign. The guys who stole 16 feet of turf. By the way, the video is fantastic. Trying to pull it with their Nissan Altima. The woman who tried to smuggle 2,000 cigarettes as shoes. And the woman who ate 3 to 5 slices of ham every day and sometimes salami for 8 years. $9,200 worth. Wow. Okay, that's the recap. You can start calling in. First person to call in, you will be our third vote. 312-981-7200. Okay, let's see. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you want to join us on these for the dummies. Okay, Dan, who are you going with?
Ooh, that crazy broccoli Rob and his funny marijuana mailing stunts.
Yeah, I think Olive Loaf had something to do with it as well.
Yeah, probably. That is a good one. You know, the fact that they had a Nissan Altima
I know,
and were still like, you know what? Let's do this.
Yeah.
You know, they got away, but still, it's like, that's pretty dumb. I do appreciate the woman who tried to smuggle in cigarettes did give her friend smokes.
Right.
That was noted. She shared.
Yeah.
But 3 to 5 slices of ham every day and sometimes salami.
Right.
Totaling $9,000.
Right.
I mean, that's a lot of ham and salami.
It is.
I will go number five.
Yeah. Because of my dad and my connection to the Jewels and knowing what goes on sometimes at grocery stores, this is just, I mean, the fact that it was $9,200 worth of ham and salami, that's, I got to vote for that. So let's see if it's going to be unanimous with our caller, Keith. Keith, who are you voting for?
Well, actually, I was thinking about voting for that guy who stole the turf. I mean, that must have been a heck of a resale value.
Yeah. So you're voting for the guys who stole the turf.
Yes.
Okay. All right, cool. Thanks, Keith, for being our first listener vote on You Big Dummy. But our dummy of the week is indeed the woman who ate 3 to 5 slices of ham every day, sometimes salami for 8 years, totaling up to $9,200 worth of deli meats. That's a great story. I love that story.
I haven't purchased deli meat in a while. I mean, is that high end if it was ended up costing that much? Or is it just the volume of the meat?
I think 8 years, if you're eating 5 slices a day for 8 years, that's a lot of meat. I mean, it's 8 years worth, you know? But here's the other thing. Does she work 7 days a week?
Mm.
That's the other thing. Maybe she's only working, because, you know, maybe, it was, I mean, you know, my dad only works part-time. I only worked part-time at Jewel. I didn't work full-time.
Maybe she started part-time and realized what she's doing and volunteered to go full-time.
Yeah, so she could get more meat. Oh, man. No. All right, mm-hmm. There we go. That's going to end up on the segment we're about to do next week. Here we go. So when I'm in your neighborhood, you better duck, because Ice Cube is crazy as F-bomb. As I leave, believe I'm stomping, but when I come back, boy, I'm coming straight out of context.
context, context, context. Context, context.
What's up?
Tell them where you're from.
Straight out of context, 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 context.
That's right. Straight out of context, everybody. This is another Friday feature that we do. This is when you listen to this radio station 24/7 all the time, every day, and whenever anybody at any time says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds dirty and it makes you giggle like a 9-year-old, jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. That's the setup. What do we got?
We begin with Ken from Hillside. He heard this one of Wendy Snyder.
You put your rear end out a little bit.
Ay, ay, ay. All right.
Lisa, John, and Jim Leskowski bring us this one of You and Me.
You know, they have those things that you can, they're these little rubber things. You ever see those, Dan?
Yeah, but they're really hard to put on.
Oh, okay. That's pretty great. That's pretty great. Good ear on those guys. Good ear on Jim. And we were, here's what we were talking about. Those little rubber things that you put around your key so that you can identify, color code them, and you can identify what key is what. That's a good catch, man. That didn't even occur to me. Did that even occur to you?
Nope.
Wow. All right.
Ken from Hillside emailed this one of Steve Bertrand.
The big one was Cosmo.
Are they talking about Seinfeld?
We'll find out later.
Oh, All right.
Tim sent in this one of Violetta Podramatic.
Oh, it always goes up and down.
She sounds so bored, too. Oh, it always goes up and down. All right.
Stream with Steve heard this exchange between producer Lindsay and Lou Manfredini.
Can I get a ride?
Yeah, I'll give you a ride. You're going to have to hold it.
God. Oh, man. Should we call HR? What's going on here, man? Oh, man. All right.
Stream with Steve also emailed this one of Lisa Wolf.
I do that sometimes, but only with you.
Oh. Oh. All right.
Tim sent in this one of Wendy.
Tom didn't trust me to take my own measurements.
Oh, man. All right.
Tim also heard this one of Rokan.
But as soon as I saw him going in, and I'm like, uh-oh, what? Wait, what?
Wow. All right. Jeez. Okay.
Diane of Naperville emailed this exchange between Wendy and Judy Pilak.
Well, the 6-inch is not enough, but a foot long is too much.
Oh, my God. I like that Judy agreed. Judy agreed with that. A foot long is too, it's too much. That's a really good one. That's really good. Okay.
Jesse's responsible for the next couple ones. First up, Dave Bennett.
God, was well beyond seeing my first at that point, Steve.
Yeah.
All right.
And this one of Esmeralda.
I'm sure you have to prop it up a little more.
Mm. There you go. All right. We're going to break here for weather.
The next one is worth the commercial break.
Okay.
Stay tuned, everybody.
All right. And that's Esmeralda. By the way, Esmeralda is not part of the show, and we miss her terribly on a regular basis, but she will be filling in. In fact, she will be filling in tomorrow morning. Saturday morning from 1 to 5, right? From 1 to 5.
Correct.
Filling in for Bubala. So it'll be John Hansen and Esmeralda Leon. So Esmeralda is still going to be a voice on this station. She'll be a fill-in every once in a while, and she will also appear on our show semi-regularly. But she's just not with us every morning, and we miss her. But she'll be back on, and you can hear her tomorrow morning. All right. All right, let's do a break here. We got weather coming up, and then we'll come back and finish up straight out of context and get into You Big. No, you did You Big Dummies already. We'll do Nick D Show Spies. All right. So when I'm in your neighborhood, you better duck, because Ice Cube is crazy as F-bomb. As I leave, believe I'm stomping, but when I come back, boy, I'm coming straight out of context, context, context. Context. Context.
What's up?
Tell them where you're from.
Straight out of context, 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 context.
That's right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. It's Friday morning. Fly Jams Friday. We'll be coming up. Steve Grzanich at 5 with the opening bell. Steve Cochran with your opening, with your morning drive at 6. And we are here doing our regular features. This is Straight Out of Context. When you listen to this radio station 24-7, whenever anybody at any time says something that you can pull out of context, that it sounds dirty and it makes you giggle, jot down the date, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Okay, Dan, let's go.
As we mentioned, Jesse gave us a bunch of them, and that includes this one of Dave Bennett.
Teddy did something naughty down there.
Can we hear that one again?
Teddy did something naughty down there.
There you go. I love it when Dave is on. I can't tell you how much I love it when Dave is on Straight Out of Context. I really do. Okay.
Here's another one of Esmeralda.
It helps to make it bigger.
What were we talking about? Was that on my show?
That was. It was the life hacks. You can burn a candle if you're, or you burn a crayon if you're out of candles. And we mentioned how you need to leave the wrapping on it.
Right. It helps to make it bigger. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And finally from Jesse, this one of Mary Sandberg Boyle.
Maybe Grzanich will do it with me.
Whoa! Wow! Mm-hmm. Oh my God! All right, this is a little soap opera thing happening here, possibly.
Jim sent in this one with Steve Cochran.
I can't imagine 2 inches bigger than this.
He had to know, right?
I don't know.
Okay.
And finally, Ken from Hillside and Foxbelly Mike heard this one of Dean Richards.
Produce. I'm still squeezing the melons.
Oh, jeez. It just doesn't stop, does it? It just doesn't stop. Was that on his Sunday show?
Nope, that was with Cochran.
Most of the filthiest stuff that Dean says on the air, he says on Cochran's show. Although he and Schwanee get a little little filthy on Sunday mornings there. All right. Well, we'll do that again next week. There's never a shortage of Straight Out of Context on this station. Good God. All right.
Spies.
Hey.
Someone took your plans away. So what's all of us? There ain't nobody. Spies.
Spies. Spies. Like us.
All right, there you go. That is our theme for Nick D Show Spies. This is another regular feature on Fridays. You listen to this radio station 24-7, and whenever anybody mentions me or the show in any capacity, you become a spy. We want to know about it. Write down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Okay.
We heard from Steve Bertrand earlier. It was from a conversation that Bill and Wendy and Steve were having about Burt Reynolds.
He was an actor for sure, but I think he just was more of a sex symbol.
I really do. That's it.
And young and old.
Right.
People loved him.
Right. So what do you think was in it for him to pose for the magazine?
Well, that's what I'm looking up because there are so many different. It was in Cosmo.
It wasn't Cosmo?
It was in Cosmo.
Yeah.
Because I thought for sure it was in Playgirl. Did he do a spread in Playgirl as well?
The big one was Cosmo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Use Steve, that, Nick DiGilio.
Let's reflect on that for just a moment.
What? He didn't do anything for Playboy. It was or Playgirl. Just Cosmo. And he was more than just a sex symbol. Come on, guys. He was a great actor. He gave great performances in many movies. I know a lot of people just remember him as the snickering, laughing, mustachioed sex symbol guy. Mm-hmm. Who made a lot of silly movies, but as we talked about during our tribute to him, he gave some great performances in some good movies, including Boogie Nights and Deliverance and Starting Over and Longest Yard. So he could be serious and he could be Sharky's machine. And also he's a good director. So I wanted to give a little more credit than these guys were just like, he was a sex symbol and he closed and he was a lot more than that. And by the way, in November at my film club, we're showing a Burt Reynolds movie, a tribute to him. We don't know which one yet. We're leaning towards either Longest Yard or Deliverance. So those were our choices. But anyway, yeah, Cosmo was the big one. Okay.
Matt Bubel and Roger Badish were talking about horror movies and TV shows that you saw when you were too young, and Roger mentioned how it impacted him.
I know Nick grew up with the horror flicks and everything, and mm-hmm. I appreciate that genre. I never really got into it for some reason when I was very young. Those kinds of things. I think it was probably because of the Twilight Zone TV shows.
Sure.
And I forgot there was a second one that tried to do Twilight Zone. Oh, Outer Limits.
Sure.
And the weird music and the weird shows, stories they had on. So when I was very young and I would, either my parents were watching it or it happened to be on the TV at the time, even though it was probably past my bedtime, it kind of spooked me a little bit.
So, Roger's a wuss. That's what I got from that clip. I thrived on that stuff, as everybody knows. Yeah. 8 years old when I saw The Exorcist, everybody. Just want to make sure you can put that in, wrap your mind around that. It might explain some things. I've said that before, Dan.
Yeah, I was going to say, Roger may be a whoosh, but relatively well adjusted.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So, no, me seeing The Exorcist at 8 years old might actually explain a lot. So, anyway, do we have any more?
That is it.
That's it. Okay. Thank you for spying for us. And do it again this coming week, and we'll do it Friday. And you listen 24/7 whenever anybody mentions me or the show in any capacity. Again, jot down all the info and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Okay. Shall we do the thing with the thing?
When I grew up on the farm, fly was something we sprayed to kill, and jam was something we put on our breakfast toast.
Jam. Fly jam. Fly Jams Friday.
Yeah, this is Fly Jam Friday on your overnight radio with my man, Nick D, on 720 WGN.
Yeah, Fly Jams Friday. Phone lines are open. DJ Shagru just got out of the TARDIS. Viggity Viggity Vic is running around like a lunatic in the newsroom. Esmeralda the Heartmeld is at home, melding hearts. And I'm Wiggy Wiggy Nicky. Phone lines are open. Get your requests in for any soul or R&B or funky number. And DJ Shagru will play it. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. We will take a break for the news. And when we get back, it's going to get funky in here. And we're going to hear some R&B and celebrate Fly Jams Friday. Requests right now. 312-981-7200.
I was your man, baby, you. Never worry about what I do. I'll be coming home back to you every night, doing you right. You're the type of woman deserve good fame. This for the diamond, head for the rain. Baby, you're a star. I just wanna show you you are. You should let me love you. Huh. Let me be the one to give you.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio, and we're here until 5 a.m. It's Fly Jams Friday. Phone lines are open to get your requests in. DJ Shagru is spinning the discs. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Steve Grzanich is at 5 with the opening bell, and Steve Cochran at 6 with your morning drive. Dan, you are choosing some of the bumps this morning.
I am. Yes. That was Mario with Let Me Love You.
Oh, Mario.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, man. That's fly.
It is.
All right. It's Fly Jams Friday, so let's get some more here going. 920 area code wanted to hear this classic.
I said, chill, baby, baby, chill, baby, baby, wait. My girl busts in, caught us creating a boom. She said, girlfriend.
Yeah, that's CC Music Factory. You remember the rapper's name, the guy?
I do not.
Freedom Williams.
Yeah.
I wonder whatever happened to Freedom Williams. You know that everybody dance now. That they got into some trouble because of the woman who actually did the vocals.
Right.
They put like a thin woman and had her lip sync it. And then the woman who actually did the vocals, and they're really great vocals, was like, hey, you didn't put me in the video because I'm overweight. Is that what the deal is?
Remember that, yeah.
Then Freedom Williams was all shirtless in that video. So
at one time, Williams was the majority owner of the Continental Basketball Association's Atlanta Crunk franchise.
Wait. The team's name is Crunk?
Atlanta Crunk.
That makes me like Freedom Williams even more.
Yes.
But you know that everybody dance now. That's just I've got the power.
Yeah.
It's the same song and I've got the power. Man, who did I've got the power? Why am I It's getting
kind of Technotronic. No.
It's getting kind of hectic. It's getting
Snap.
Snap, that's right. Snap. That song is a jam, but that was first. I've got the power was first. And then everybody dance now came afterwards. So and then thing that makes you go, hmm. Yeah, that's man, you remember Arsenio? Everybody, you remember Arsenio? All right. You know, Jim Ryan had a lovely interview with Arsenio.
Yeah, the two or three times now.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I wonder if Jim Ryan still has that voicemail from Roger Daltrey. He has to.
Oh, that's a good question.
He has to. I mean, how do you miss that call? How do you miss a call from Roger Daltrey? Wow. All right, here's a 312 area code requested this classic.
Lean on me.
Think Kevin Powell just woke up?
I bet he did. I think he was on Facebook a minute ago. So.
Oh, was he? Well, then he must be very happy right now that the 312 area code requested Lean on Me. So didn't we get into, didn't we have a mix up with Stand By Me and Lean on Me with the movies?
Yes.
Because Lean on Me is the one with Morgan Freeman as the principal of the school. It's like, they used to call me Crazy Joe, now they can call me Batman. And then Stand By Me, obviously, is the one with River Phoenix and Corey Feldman, Will Wheaton, where they discovered the dead body.
Right.
But with some, didn't somebody say, hey, Stand By Me with Morgan Freeman? Wasn't that one?
Right.
All right. We got some lines open here if you want to jump in with your Fly Jam requests. We celebrate everything funky and R&B on Friday morning. 312-981-7200. Get your requests in right now. Here's Chuck on WGN. Hi, Chuck.
Hey. Hi, Nick.
Hi.
You know, I recorded Arsenio every night.
Yeah, did you really?
Oh, yeah. This week we got the group Heat Wave with Ain't No Half Steppin'.
All right, let's hear it.
Ain't no half steppin'. We gotta do it good. Ain't no half steppin'. Like you know you should.
All right, cool. All right, Chuck, thanks. Ain't no half stepping. You got to do the whole thing, man. You can't half step through life.
That's right.
Oh, boy. All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. The lines are open, and you can get an instant request. Yeah, man, instant request! What was it? Egyptian tomb cheese? Was that the...
That's right, Egyptian tomb cheese. Did the news.
And flood noodles. I remember flood noodles. He was a good guy.
Broccoli Rob sent the pot to the radio station for Egyptian tomb cheese, because you know Egyptian tomb cheese has no sense of humor.
Oh, so they've actually traced it to that
I think so.
That crime to Broccoli Rob?
Yeah.
Oh boy. All right. Dummy.
Broccoli Rob.
Dummy. All right. 708 area code. Here's another request on Fly Jams Friday. Get yours in now at 312-981-7200. Yeah. Cool in the Gang. That was a really big song. You know, that was a very big hit for them. So, yeah. Cool in the Gang. You know, there was the cool in the Gang, and then the not so cool in the Gang. And that's from the not so cool.
I can see that.
That was like the second wave of Cool in the Gang that just wasn't as good. Can I ask a question? Why did they send reporters into a hurricane? I don't understand this.
You know, Spike Odell had a really great Facebook post down there. You know, he saw somebody like waist deep in the water, and they're just like, you know, what's the point?
Every time there is some sort of natural disaster and they send a reporter out standing in it, I know it's bad. I don't have to say some dude
right
holding onto a tree trying not to die.
Right. As Vic has pointed out, our own Ryan Burrow is safely somewhere filing reports. He's not, you know, standing in the middle of a street.
I just don't understand. I don't get it at all. They did a bit on that last night on The Daily Show. They sent Ronnie Chang. They said that he was in North Carolina, so they had like wind and rain blowing on him. But he wasn't doing a report on North Carolina. He was doing a report on Trump's tweets. Because they had one, they showed a clip of a guy talking about, you know, he's standing on the beach and there's wind everywhere and rain and stuff, and it wasn't as bad as it is now because the hurricane's now hitting
right
the Carolinas. But this guy was there and he was doing a report on vaping, so he's doing a story on vaping, but he's standing on a beach with wind and rain, and so Trevor Noah, they cut back to Trevor Noah, and Trevor Noah's like, let me ask you a question: why did they send this guy out in a hurricane to do a story on vaping? I don't understand this. And that's the tie-in that they did with Ronnie Chang. He's like, why did you send me to North Carolina to do a story on tweets? And it was very, very funny. But yeah, no, that's crazy that they send those guys out there. All right, 314 area code sends in this request for Fly Jams Friday. People of the world are down to say, yeah, you can never go wrong with Earth, Wind, and Fire. That's In the Stone. That's not one of their biggest hits either. That's kind of a deep cut.
Yeah.
Kind of a deep cut there for Earth, Wind, and Fire. But you can never go wrong with Earth, Wind, and Fire and all 6,012 members of the band. So, all right, it's Fly Jams Friday, everybody. Get your funky things going and get your requests in at 312-981-7200. We're going to break here for weather, and then we'll come back with more Fly Jams. Yeah. All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up. And they stay there, and they say yeah. Welcome back, everybody. It's Fly Jams Friday. Nick DiGilio here in the Allstate Skyline Studio here till 5 a.m. Dan, who's that?
DJ Khaled featuring T-Pain with All I Do Is Win.
Isn't that used on a commercial?
Yeah, it's used on a bunch of commercials.
All right, cool. Yeah, so it's Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich coming up. And also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. And also, your requests for Fly Jams, 312-981-7200. Let's see, here's Kathy on WGN. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
How's it going?
Good. What's up?
We're going to start it off with Stomp by Brothers Johnson.
Let's do it. Yeah. That's a fly jam. Kathy, have a great morning. Thank you. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Brothers Johnson had a lot of good songs, man. So, I was just looking up at the screen on the WGN News.
Mm-hmm.
Dean gave the Predator a D.
Oh, no.
Come on now, Dean. White Boy Rick a C. He didn't like anything. He doesn't like anything.
Oh, man.
Well, it's McConaughey. Now what is he going to see? He's going to say something bad about Blake Lively now. It's like... Three movies I really want to see this weekend. I hope he doesn't trash this one. I love Anna Kendrick. I love Blake Lively. Man, oh, man.
You love Sterling K. Brown. You love Olivia Munn.
I love Olivia Munn. Oh, my God. I can't wait to see all three of these movies I'm excited about this weekend. I'm genuinely excited about all three of the big movies that are coming out this weekend. And we're going to, by the way, we'll review them Monday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get a wrap-up report. Oh, he gave it a B+. He gave... A simple favor, B+. Okay. At least he liked something. But anyway, we'll get a final report from Eric, who has just got back from to Toronto, where he gave us the bad news last week that he didn't like Halloween. But there is a movie that I can't wait to hear what he thinks of. It's this movie called Her Smell.
Hmm.
And it's... Elizabeth Moss is the lead, and she plays like a Courtney Love kind of punk rocker.
Oh, wow.
Who's like in a spiral, and it's directed by and written and directed by the guy who wrote and directed Queen of Earth, which is one of her...
Did they write that movie just for you?
I think so, because it's like Elizabeth Moss playing basically Courtney Love, and I'm like, oh, I can't wait to see that. It's called Her Smell, and it got sort of polarizing reviews.
Mm.
Because apparently she's a despicable character in the movie, and does a lot of like drugs and stuff. So she's very unpleasant to be around. But it's Elizabeth Moss, so therefore it's great. Okay, let's see. Here's 8-Track Johnny. Hey, 8-Track Johnny.
Hey, good morning, Nick.
Morning.
How are you?
All right, what do you got?
Hey, I was at your screening on Tuesday. And I know you said to vote, via Facebook or whatever, and I don't do that. So I'm calling in a vote for Boogie Nights, the movie, and a vote for Boogie Nights, the song.
All right, let's hear it.
All right.
Thank you, 8-Track Johnny, and thanks for coming to the screening. I appreciate it. You know, technically, Boogie Nights is a Burt Reynolds movie.
Yep.
So, he's part of an ensemble. It's not really a Burt Reynolds movie. But, of course, I would not object to that because I kind of like the director of that movie.
I've heard, yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, is it surprising that a guy named 8-Track Johnny doesn't do Facebook?
or he requested a song from the 70s.
Exactly. Oh, man. All right. Thank you, 8-Track Johnny. I appreciate it. And thanks for coming out to the screening. The next screening that we're doing, by the way, is one of my favorite horror movies of all time. We're doing Phantasm. And it'll be Phantasm Remastered, the remastered version that was overseen and paid for by J.J. Abrams. Came out a couple of years ago. It's magnificent looking. And so we're going to do Phantasm for Halloween. And we'll give you more details on that as they come around. All right, here's Lou wanted to request this. Well, there's a road in a fisted ground, and the eagle flies with the dove. And if you came with the one you love, honey, love the one you're with. You got to love the one you're with. You got to love the one you're with. You got to love the one you're with. You know, the Isley Brothers, their covers are fantastic.
They're so good.
I mean, like Summer Breeze? Mm-hmm. Come on, man, with a 27-minute guitar solo at the beginning? They're the best. The Isley Brothers rule, man, and their covers are fantastic. That's a great cover, too. And they cover songs that they have no right being funky.
Right.
You know? And they make them funky. Like Summer Breeze, Love the One You're With? Those aren't funky songs. Those aren't Fly. Well, they are in the hands of the Isley Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
All right. How about this one? 773 area code. Wanted to hear for Fly Jams Friday, Baby by Brandy. Not trying to be rude, baby, baby. No invention, nothing gained, so I'm telling you. Baby, 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 baby. Tonight, you're so fine. Oh, baby, 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 baby. Think about you all the time. Brandy. I don't think I've ever heard that before. Was that a hit?
Yeah, it was a big hit.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe I remember it, but I don't remember it. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if it was a big enough hit for people who don't listen to, who didn't listen to B96 back then. But
oh,
on B96,
right.
It was a big hit.
Did your former landlord play it?
Georgie Porgy?
Yeah.
Probably.
Okay. All right, last one for Fly Jams Friday. Katie in Kentucky wanted to hear this. Some of the work gets kind of hard. This ain't no place to be if you plan on being a star. Let me tell you, it's always cool. And the boss don't mind sometimes if you act cool. At the car wash, oh, 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 oh. Talking about the car wash, yeah. Come on, y'all, and sing it for me. Car wash, woo, woo, woo. Car wash, yeah. Fly. All right, that's Fly Jams for this week. We'll do it again next week, and we're going to take a break. The news is coming up next, followed by the opening bell, and we'll be back on Monday morning. Thanks, everybody, for listening with the movie reviews as regular and, of course, my dad's joke. All right, news is coming up right after this.